is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Allowing, you know, only one side of the story to be told. So in the later aspects of things, it's unable to. When I was at Occupy Berkeley, there was a lot of shutdown of media, you know, very, very small amounts of media being able to come through. And it helped create this story that created Occupy as a violent, not working situation because of the lack of media. If there was more media out there, maybe a different story would be told. Unfortunately, when you start to control media on either side, the narrative can be changed. I mean, every story is a Photoshop or a Final Cut Pro editing session away from being completely turned into another story. For example, you look at some of the Milo Yiannopoulos.
One moment.
Yeah. If you look at some of the Milo Yiannopoulos clips, as he titles them, Milo totally destroys Black Lives Matter argument. You can use editing to be able to create victories where there may not have been one. Maybe she had a very large point, or maybe he had XYZ. But the use of media and the use of piecemeal media nowadays,
especially with these spoiled brats who hate anything that doesn't agree with their stilted point of view, their collectivist point of view, their socialist point of view. If you don't agree with them, you are a racist, you're a Nazi, you're worse than Hitler. La-di-da-di-da. So we're going to go back to this live. This is going to be our opening segment here, and you're joining us on The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for watching.
Going in and talking to people. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, but we gotta go over here.
On the wall. Come on, smart. Can we get through here?
22.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
All right, so it looks like the march has started. It started marching up, and I mean, really and truly, it's pretty disgusting how these people out here say that they're anti-fascist, but in reality, they're actually acting like fascists by not letting free press go in. And if you know anything about the fascist regimes actually were really, like, there was a huge problem with the First Amendment and them trying to impede the First Amendment. And that's history, folks. You can go look that up under Mussolini.
And what Millie's talking about is she was trying to get into this march earlier, and they were saying, no, you can't come. You're fake news. You're this. You're that. Even though she's there live streaming with a microphone, letting people say whatever they want. She just had a talk with a guy who wanted to talk with her, even though I don't agree with his point of view. He's saying Occupy was twisted. Occupy was twisted from the start. There was probably people in there lots of people went in with different ideas of what it should be, and it got co-opted from whatever the original message was. And that all happened during Obama's era. The police came in and started beating people up during Obama's era. Remember that. Nobody wants to remember that. They just want to say Trump is bad. All right, let's go back to it. Here comes the march.
Yeah, I'm on a Facebook Live, but there's a lot of fans at InfoWars.
Okay.
Like, get a photo of her and then follow her.
Can I get an interview with her at the end of the day? I'm from Red Elephant.
Sure.
Our streets! Our streets! Our streets! Our streets!
These are the commies that don't believe in First Amendment. If it's their streets, folks, just know there's no free speech.
Very low energy.
It is pretty low energy. They're just like dragging along like a bunch of lemming zombies. There's obviously not much super male vitality or super female vitality
exactly
in their
right.
diet.
This is a zombie march.
Right there. That's
left
right.
Zombie march caught live on TV. You're watching it right now from Berkeley.
Of course they let
low
bison.
Energy,
okay,
malnourished.
Right there. There he is.
BPA infested beta heads walking around saying anybody who doesn't agree with them is a Nazi. Literally Hitler. Just that argument alone takes away all their power. Here comes Millie Weaver going in to interview some people. If you're listening to this on radio, she's trying to interview people. She's being stopped. People are trying to put
fascists go
home.
What do you think about
Fascists go home!
Come on! And trying to intimidate a woman, trying to do her job.
We're being assaulted.
No, you're being assaulted with piss.
We're being assaulted with piss, so we're gonna back up over.
Oh, so they're throwing pee on our reporter.
It was Thomas Jefferson who once said that our country is now taking.
is the War Room.
All right. You're watching the War Room here from 3 to 6 p.m. Central, part of the InfoWars Live Network. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Rob Dew. No co-host today because my co-host is in D.C. with Roger Stone. Michael Zimmerman's there now. And also, my other co-host, Millie Weaver, is in Berkeley right now. She just had pee thrown on her, some leftist pee. And I don't know if she's signed off yet, guys. Pull up her stream. Is she still going? All right, she just signed off. We're going to try to get a hold of her and see if she wants to talk about it. All she did was walk up with a microphone. There's a still frame right there, walking up with a microphone, trying to talk to these people, and they threw pee on her. That's how tolerant these scum are. And it really pisses me off that they refuse to have a debate because they have no debate. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of a real debate. They have no leg to stand on. All they could do is throw pee. Can you imagine that? Chimpanzee behavior, literal monkey simian behavior, is all they can exhibit when asked a question. That's your America. That's your new America. And we got the NFL pissing on the flag in the national anthem. We're going to get into that. I got a whole stack of articles about the good old NFL and why I don't really care about them. I don't care if they survive or fail. Doesn't bother me one bit. Doesn't bother me one bit. Got some North Korea news. But I guess I'll lead off with this while we're waiting. Another sleaze bucket on the other side of the coast over in New York. It's from the Daily Mail. I have a disease, but no excuse. Sobbing Anthony Weiner is sentenced to 21 months in federal prison for sexting 15-year-old girl in scandal that Hillary Clinton claims lost her the election. Oh, guys, I put a clip in there. I think it has Hillary in the title, Hillary Book. Get ready to play that. People are still going after Hillary at these book signings. I love it. Anthony Weiner was sentenced to 21 months in federal prison on Monday after he had admitted to exchanging sexually charged messages with a 15-year-old girl. The judge ordered a sobbing Weiner to surrender himself by 2 p.m. on November 6th. Remember the 6th of November, to begin serving his sentence and pay a $10,000 fine. The former 53-year-old congressman will have to register as a sex offender. The case led the FBI to reopen its probe into Hillary Clinton's private email server after investigators found messages between Clinton and Weiner's wife on the former congressman's laptops. Yeah, Weiner's wife, Huma, was sending messages from to Weiner's laptops so she could print them out. Totally weirdo behavior. Amanda Kramer of the U.S. Attorney's Office made the case for prosecution, said that Weiner had asked a 15-year-old girl to show him her naked body and perform sexually, calling his crime a serious felony. I agree, it's a serious felony. Why is he only getting 21 months? And during this time, he was having contact with 19 other women online. Okay, so 15-year-old girl, 20 women, and he's married. Having sexually charged conversations. Totally crazy. So, and his lawyers are now worried about that. They don't want him to be sent to a maximum security prison. So he's probably going to go to Schuylkill, Pennsylvania, where they have a prison, probably a medium security prison. I think it's great. He's getting what he deserves. I think he deserves more personally, because that's not the only thing he's done. And so what the government's doing is kind of letting him off easy. They're like, we're just, look, 21 months. You're lucky it's not 15 years because we have more on you. But this is all the public knows. This is all we're going to go with. And Jeff Sessions is quietly sitting in the background. Hey, guys, what's the status on Millie Weaver? Okay, so we're waiting for a call from Millie Weaver, either this segment or next segment. We'll get them on to find out what's going on with them. Now let's go to over the weekend. We had a church shooting, but you wouldn't know it because you don't hear much about it on the television. Why? Because the shooter was black and he was shooting white people. And he's a Sudanese migrant. So here we have, this is our post from Got News. I like how we sometimes change headlines from other reporting agencies. Got News, great organization. Report, suspected Tennessee church killer, a pro-Islamist black power Sudanese migrant. Media hiding identity of narrative shattering mass shooter. Here's what Got News said. Breaking, Anatok shooter is a black power radical who posted that you're more likely to be killed by a white man than a Islamist extremist. So Got News went and looked at his Twitter and Facebook accounts and started posting some of his stuff. Police murder a Black Panther general execution style and try to cover it up July 23rd, 2016. Then he shared DeMario Thompson's post, which shows supposedly this guy is supposedly a assistant chief of police in Esterwood. And he has a couple of looks like racist cartoons. And then he shared from Mike, you're more likely to be killed by a white man than a Muslim terrorist. So, hey, is Trump considering a ban on white men? And actually, black men are more likely to be killed by other black men. And there's more white men killed by police than black men every year. Every year, but they don't tell you that. Former, Ezra Klein also posted this. So he reposted a lot of this stuff. Former neo-Nazi and current anti-hate activist explains why the threat of white extremism must not be ignored. White extremism is so bad. It's so bad. We let an NBC, a black NBC panelist go on national television and say the U.S. national anthem is white supremacy. That's how white supremacist we are. So they went through and just kind of chronicled, because all this stuff is usually taken off very quickly. They probably went in and got him before. He was also a big fan of Robert Mugabe. President Mugabe announced the state will own all the diamonds in the country. So, but of course, these African dictators don't do anything for their people. They just hoard the wealth for themselves. And that's the way they like it. Obama started AFRICOM, started going into Africa big time. We have operations going on in Africa right now that we don't even talk about. The press doesn't talk about it, but they're ongoing. In fact, I think Tim Kennedy went to Africa to stop with some child trafficking projects that were going on. But here's the big story, in addition to the guy being a Sudanese migrant and the press hiding it, is how was this guy stopped? This guy was stopped by a good guy with a gun. But when the guy went after him the first time, he didn't even have a gun. All right. And this guy doesn't even want to be called a hero. He is a hero. And his name is Robert Engle. He's 22 years old. He was an usher at the church. And after this guy shot somebody in the parking lot, this Kadiga Sampson, who's 25, a bodybuilder, big guy. Big guy. Shoots somebody, and then he goes into the church, shoots the pastor in the chest, shoots several other people running. 22-year-old kid. Doesn't look like a big guy. Went after him. He got pistol whipped by the shooter, and then the shooter shot himself in the chest and went down. The guy, quick thinking, ran out to his car with a head wound and held a gun on the shooter. That's your hero right there. Not the dog, but the guy wearing the Green Bay Packers shirt. Metropolitan Nashville Police Chief Steven Anderson said he is the hero. He is the person who stopped this madness. The 22-year-old church usher is being called a hero after he confronted a gunman who opened fire inside a Tennessee church and stopped the shooting rampage that left one woman dead and six others injured. The masked gunman accidentally shot himself in a struggle with Engle, who suffered a significant injury around his head after being violently pistol whipped. Police say Engle ran to his car, grabbed his gun, and held the shooter at gunpoint until emergency officials arrived at the scene. Now, here's how much of a Christian this man is. I ask everyone to pray for the victims, family members, and the victims of our church community. Please pray for healing. Also pray for the shooter and the shooter's family and friends. They are hurting as well. True Christian, giving forgiveness after he was beaten, and he stopped a police shooting. Or stopped a police shooting. Stopped a gunman going in and massacring people. And now when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about another man in a church who stopped a shooting. I'll tell you where you can go find the video of his interview. Because it truly is amazing when God puts the power of human destiny in the hands of real people. Amazing things can happen. So stay tuned. We got more. It's The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can watch us at Infowars.com/show. Spread that link live. We'll be right back. You know, having been on the front lines of the info war here since 2009, I can safely say I've never had piss thrown on me when I was going out to do my job. I have been sprayed with pepper spray, have smelt tear gas, had to burn my eyes. I've been handcuffed. I've been thrown to the ground. I've been pushed. I've never had piss thrown on me. And that's happened to Millie Weaver, just walking over to ask a question. Microphone in hand. Hey, I just want to talk. Fascists, go home. Fascists, go home. These whining little babies that don't have an argument. Their only argument is throw pee-pee like a monkey. I'm a monkey. I throw pee-pee and poo-poo at you. And they think somehow that's an argument. They think somehow they're going to win with that argument. Just like these little babies in the NFL. These prima donnas who've been coddled their entire lives. Let me tell you. In high school. It starts in middle school with the football team. The little power trips they get on. Okay? And I'm not a small guy. And I've never been bullied by football players. I was friends with a lot of them. But I saw them bully a lot of people. I saw that happening. And it was known that you didn't go mess with the football players in high school or in middle school. Because they would all gang up on you and kick your butt. But that never happened to me, but I've seen it. I saw it in college. I saw how it worked, how they get let off easy, you know, and now they get treated like the ultimate heroes for going out and playing a game that I think in a 3-hour game has about 6 minutes of action. Wow. That's a lot. 6 minutes of action. But before we went to the break, we were talking about how an armed man stopped a mass shooting from happening in. Now, we were talking about the guy in Tennessee. They're so quick on the draw. We were talking about the man in Tennessee who was stopped by a good guy with a gun who stood up to him and went and grabbed a gun and then went out and get him. Now, a couple years ago, David Knight interviewed a man from South Africa who in 1993 had a .38 revolver with 5 rounds and he defeated 4 armed men with AK-47s, grenades, and Molotov cocktails. And you can read it all in that article, Armed Man Saves Church from Armed Attacker. And there's a video that goes along with it where David Knight interviews the man. His name is Carl Van Wyk. In just 30 seconds, the terrorists were able to kill 11 people and wound 58. Some were gravely wounded with injuries that would forever alter their life. But the terrorists had planned to kill everyone in the church and were equipped to do so. And who stopped them? One man with a 5-shot revolver stopped all those people. Stopped 4 people with Molotov cocktails, grenades, and AK-47s. So when you stand up to bullies, which is what Trump is doing now. Colin Kaepernick's big bully. Telling everybody that he's oppressed. And he's speaking for the oppressed people. Now he doesn't have a job. And then you got all these other guys that have probably bullied people their entire lives. And now they're saying, oh, we're the victims. President Trump is mean to us. Oh. And I don't give 2 rat droppings about the NFL. So I don't care if it blows itself up, but it is why I'm wearing black today. It's their funeral. But let's go to another video of people standing up to bullies. This is 2 young men who had something to say to Hillary Clinton over a book signing over the weekend.
Come on down. Thanks so much for coming.
Hey, Hillary.
Hey.
I just want to let you know that your husband, Bill Clinton, is a rapist. Infowars.com.
Kind of reminds me of Empire Strikes Back when they're yelling, Imperial troops have entered the base. Imperial troops is... And it gets cut out. Yeah. And that's what we need people to do, to stand up to these bullies who think they own you and own the world and think they should be given the presidency because they're a woman and... Oh, they've waited in line enough and stood behind men enough and taken orders enough and killed some of our troops and stood down and lied and killed their coworkers and defended child rapists. You know, Roger Stone was on with me, I think, last week sometime, and I said, talking about Hillary defending a child rapist. He goes, well, everybody deserves a right to a fair trial. I totally agree with him. But should a child rapist defender become president? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, sure, there's nothing illegal that she did except, you know, transferring evidence across state lines and putting the young girl up on a stand and telling her that she deserved it. I mean, those are kind of moral gray areas, which we've since made laws making that illegal. But when she did it, you know, it was kind of okay. It's kind of okay to put a little girl up on the stand, tell her she deserved to be gang raped by a bunch of men. We had that lady sitting in here, too. Her name is Kathy, I believe. And she's got the same haircut that she had when she was a little girl. She has not grown up from that time. That's how scarred traumatically she is from that event. And people are running around bitching that we should have Hillary Clinton in office, a child rape defender. Makes me sick to my stomach. Let's move on to another bully. It's bully day. Kim Jong-un releases propaganda video of North Korea blowing up a U.S. aircraft carrier, which happens to be the Carl Vinson, as the dictator brands Trump a madman and warns U.S. forces will be sent to the grave. Guys, do you have that video? I'd love to see that propaganda video. I haven't looked at it yet. This will be my first look at this amazing propaganda video from the DPRK using 1980s technology. Let's watch it. Yeah, I know. Oh. Evil infidel Donald Trump. Whoa. Look at that. This is some quality transitions. Look at that. I mean, this has to be video toaster quality, right? Is this video toaster quality? Yeah, we put green outlines on all our words. Oh, yeah. Hey, that's good, though. That's a good editing trick. They got some smart editors there in the DPRK. Watch our bottle rockets. Oh, here it goes. Oh, whoa. Took out it. This is like bad G.I. Joe. Oh, direct hit. This is serious propaganda. We should all be quaking in our boots now at the might of the video editing power of the DPRK. Oh, now they're burning the American flag. Dang, that's tough. And now they've come out and said that Donald Trump has declared war on North Korea. Kim Jong-un's foreign minister threatens to shoot down American bombers, even if they are outside his airspace. We got more news coming up. Michael Zerman's going to be joining me. He's in Washington, D.C. right now with Roger Stone after the break. But we got a whole lot more news, and we're going to get to the NFL. Don't worry. It's their funeral. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Duke. Thanks for watching. Infowars.com/show.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Coming at you from the front lines of the InfoWar, it's The War Room, the third installment here in the InfoWars Live Network. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. We're trying to get Millie Weaver on the phone right now and hook up with her because she was just assaulted with pee. I don't know if they shot it out with a water gun or threw a bag of it on her. I don't know. But one thing is very serious about this stuff when you do this stuff. There is a huge hepatitis outbreak going on in San Diego and in California. It's now moved up to Los Angeles. It's moving up because they have a high homeless population, and you got homeless people pooping in the streets because they took away their porta potties. because the people said, well, the porta potties encourage homelessness. No, the homeless are there because you have a nice climate and people give them money and it's like a, you know, bleeding heart, fertile ground. And so now you have hepatitis outbreaks everywhere. And this is interesting. They're pushing that hepatitis A shot, saying, oh, you got to get the shot now. And they're trying to round up the homeless people and give them shots. They just need an excuse to give you shots. And that's what they're going to do. So we're trying to get her on the phone. Meanwhile, I just saw this pass me up on the Twitter file from the Washington Examiner. Guys, I'll put it right over here. Thomas Massey wants to eliminate taxes on Social Security income. That's Rep. Thomas Massey. He's from Kentucky. There's the headline. And I agree with this. I agree with any sort of tax cuts. So he said he's shocked to learn people pay federal income tax twice, once as workers on pay diverted into the Social Security system, and once again after receiving retirement checks. Representative Thomas Massey said it's one of the most popular bills he's ever sponsored, a proposal enticingly named Senior Citizens Tax Elimination Act that would end taxes on Social Security income. Many older Americans are shocked, the Kentucky Republican says, to learn they pay federal income tax twice, once as workers. They pay into the Social Security system. When you see your check, you have a little line item that says, here's what the federal government gets, and here's Social Security. But you don't get to claim that as taxed income on your income tax statement the next year. It's all treated as income. So it looks like we have Millie Weaver live. I just think tax cuts are great, and I totally support this bill. I think, you know, let's just tax people one time. Millie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hey, Rob.
Hello. So I guess you've met the tolerant hand of Antifa and had piss thrown on you.
Oh, yeah. It's been all out chaos right now. So this is our situation right now. We were going over and trying to interview and talk to some of the attendees at this end or stop white supremacy protest. And it was crazy. They were targeting us, surrounding us. They wouldn't let us in. They were completely just showing their true nature as anti-First Amendment fascists that they really and truly are. And even when they started marching, I tried to run up and talk to one of that Vice guy, you know, the one with the big beard.
Uh-huh. We have him on screen right now.
They let him go around and talk to people. So I tried to go and talk to him and ask him, hey, you know, what do you think about them blocking journalists to come in here and talk to people? If, you know, first it's me, next it's you. And anti-fascists came in and blocked me, and one of them threw a substance on me. I believe it's urine because it smells bad. But, yeah, this is what we're dealing with. I had some guy ram a bike into my leg trying to block me, and it was just disgusting.
I also noticed they broke the window on your rental car.
Oh, yeah, they did. What'd you just say? What'd they say?
I don't know.
Okay, so, yeah, we literally... The police have said right now that there's a lot of crime going on right now all across the area because the Antifa know that the protests are bogging down all the police. So all the police are literally at the protests right now. And guess what? We go to the rental car and get some information, charge some batteries to talk to you guys. And this is what we find. You see that?
Yeah. Close that door so they can see it. Look at that. All glass on the inside of the car. Did they steal anything?
Yes, they stole. But what's interesting is they didn't steal our laptop, which is a Mac, a new Mac, but they stole our camera and our camera footage only. That was it. And they didn't take any of the other equipment, but they just wanted our footage and our camera, which, you know, I think that it could be being targeted for going and exposing the communist meeting that was going on yesterday that was, you know, the communist leaders all going in war gaming against Milo Yiannopoulos. What? But yeah, this is crazy. It's pretty dangerous out here right now. I asked the police if they could come and do a police report, and they said that it could be up to an hour. So we're just kind of waiting around on a police report because all the police are bogged down. Currently, over following the march, we left the march because it started getting really bad. When they threw urine on me, we decided that, all right, let's go back and talk to you guys for one, but go and pay for parking and get some battery chargers. And we came back and the car was broken into.
Wow, so, that is truly, truly amazing. And of course, the car rental company is going to say this was your fault for parking on a street in the middle of America.
Well, and hopefully, I just signed up for the insurance with the car company, so hopefully this will cover it. I don't know.
So ridiculous.
I don't know. Do we have a battery for this laptop? Because I don't know if it seems like it's just the lighting. Okay. Well, Rob, this has been crazy. These demonstrators have really shown how they are against the First Amendment and how they really and truly are just a bunch of communist fascists. They really are fascists.
Exactly opposite of what they claim to be against. I mean, they claim, oh, we're against fascism. We're against fascists. Get out. Anybody who disagrees with them is a fascist suddenly and then must have pee thrown on them. Have you ever thrown pee on your political disagreeers? I wouldn't even say political enemies, just people you don't agree with politically. Have you ever thrown pee on them, Millie?
In fact, no, believe it or not. I have not thrown urine on my opponents because I know that I can defeat them with my intellect and with debate. And that's the problem. They can't. They can't use arguments because they don't have any sound arguments against reason. So what do? They get physical. They don't say anything. They try to block you. They throw urine at you. Okay. And we're lucky that they didn't do more, quite frankly. But I feel like things kind of start out in the beginning and they escalate throughout the evening, throughout the afternoon. So I feel like we kind of called out at the right time when things really were getting bad and they threw the urine substance on me.
Recognize you, or was it just the mic flag? Do you think it was from your video yesterday that you posted?
I think that some people recognized me. There were some pro-Trump people that were kind of just nonchalantly there, not wearing the attire or anything. They came and wanted pictures, but there were anti-fascists and stuff that definitely recognized me. But also, I think it was the InfoWars moniker as well. They see that InfoWars flag, and it doesn't matter. They're going to do what their cult leaders tell them to do and block you from getting in and talking to anyone. And I was even saying to some of the other media there, first it's me, next it's you.
Exactly.
You might think it's funny that they're doing this to InfoWars, but they say whose streets are streets. This is a little tiny picture of what their streets means. It means nobody with dissenting opinions. No press that doesn't give them a good light, good coverage and a good light. That's what it means.
Totally, totally sickening. Well, listen, I'm not going to keep you guys another segment. You need to go back, take care of this issue, especially with the car. You got to figure out some way to keep it secure. And you guys take care of yourselves. I'm sorry to hear this. I know you have at least, one more day in Berkeley?
Well, we're supposed to be here until Wednesday. So we'll be taking off Wednesday, later afternoon Wednesday, and coming back to Austin, Texas. But really and truly, I'll just say this.
We're about to go to break. We're about to go to break. Stand by.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Guys, we'll be right back after the break. Infowars.com/show.
To be self-evident.
So Infowars reporter Millie Weaver has been in Berkeley last couple days filing reports on what's going on with this free speech week that got canceled. And the people, the proponents of free speech, the free speech lovers out there, Pamela Geller, Milo Yiannopoulos, Mike Cernovich, still had their rallies. And Millie Weaver actually caught these Antifa communists wargaming against Milo, what they're going to do. So we're going to go. This is why they attacked Millie with P and went after their car. They probably have people trailing them right now because these people don't have jobs. They don't do anything. OK, so here's that report. Let's go to it.
Commies.
Really?
All of them. They have Marxist meetings at UC Berkeley.
Now, how did you know about this bookstore?
Because I've been to the meetings.
This is RevCom, the Revolutionary Commie Bookstore, where all the commie leaders are in their meeting. And we've got this Trump supporter out here trolling them. This is funny. Oh my gosh. So they're trolling.
They're trolling it so hard. This is so funny. Look at that. Oh, that's so funny. So this is the commie bookstore. This is where the commies all meet.
I'm sorry if I confused the guy earlier. I thought one of the guys in the street corner was him. It might have been. I don't know. He might be in there. He just looks so
funny. Is this like the commie recruitment office?
It's revolutionary. RevCom is the Revolutionary Communist Party of California.
Wow.
Don't wanna... In Spanish, this says, a fascist pig, 100% American.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that. So these are a bunch of Antifa without their masks on. But you know what's interesting is a bunch of old people in there. I would bet that some of these are professors. I would bet money. They look like it. They're showing the video of Milo in there. These are the leaders, the communist leaders that are like literally wargaming and strategizing. This is crazy. So they got Milo up there on the screen. This is hilarious.
This is how they have to indoctrinate themselves.
Look at that, they got Milo. This is the footage of Milo. This is the footage of Milo.
These are old commies. These are old. You see how old they are? These
yeah.
are all ex-Russian commies.
Really?
All of them. They have Marxist meetings
now,
at UC
Now,
Berkeley.
How did you know about this bookstore?
Because I've been to the meetings.
You've been to the meetings?
I wouldn't say when.
Wow. So did you...
This is from Maine.
Did you infiltrate?
I'm not saying anything, too. I'm allowed to go wherever I please. I have a right to say or go wherever I please in this country. That's all I have to say.
They're all from Russia.
These guys are legit commies from the old times. Old communist guys.
So you actually spoke to some of these guys.
They have meetings all over Berkeley. It's all fun.
But you go to Berkeley?
No, I don't go to Berkeley, but I lived around.
Were they from Russia?
I would say.
Well, some of them are from the old.
It's hard to be as indoctrinated without actually being a part of the regime.
I'm not blocking it. People want to write that.
Okay, everyone. They're not letting
the first. Look at this. They're cheering.
Yeah, that's good for them.
They're cheering. They got video footage. They're literally watching Milo strategizing for this week. It's no coincidence that their headquarter office is right next door to UC Berkeley, and that's Berkeley has become the hub of the Antifa.
It's the nexus. I want to buy a book.
How are they causing problems?
I want to buy the Communist Manifesto.
Can I buy my book? Can I buy Mao's little red book?
He tried to slip up.
You see what happened?
What?
Grab my hat.
I'm going to buy the property of communism, guys. Come on.
What?
Just make sure I'm not on the camera.
I'm in a public space.
If they didn't want people to see inside, why is it glass? You've got glass. See-through glass. I see it. We literally discovered the Viper's dead.
Just know that they're coming for you now. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, as if I already wasn't on some list. Well, is there anything else that you can tell me, sir, about this?
She got a warning.
All right, investigate BAMN, investigate No Against Fascism, investigate RevCom. Those are the funders.
Yeah.
Right, do you know any of their names?
Berkeley is a playpen. It's a political playpen, a laughingstock for like the rest of the country. You have all these actors, and you have all this these demonstrators that do stuff just to like get attention. You know, it's ridiculous.
And there it is. That's Millie Weaver reporting from Berkeley, showing how these old commies like to congregate in libraries because they love their freebies, and they've never really done anything for themselves, so they don't have a place to come meet. They have to commandeer what's considered a public. I guess that's a bookstore, though. That was like a commie little bookstore. And people were trying to go in and buy books. Security wasn't letting them in. Showed them the MAGA hat. We kind of flipped out. Now, one of our reporters who's gone to some of these meetings, they also, you know, they like to meet in bookstores and libraries around Austin, is Jake Lloyd. Jake, is this how they act? Is t- totally subversive type human behavior? What's going on with these cretins?
Yeah, you know, it's really creepy the way that they descend on these libraries. One of the events that I was at, I was sitting in my car waiting for it to happen before it was scheduled, and you just kind of look around and you start seeing all these, like, these little heathens, you know, dirty, unwashed individuals creeping into the library or whatever, and then you actually get in there and they meet these weird background coffee shop type environments, and they're just like sitting around like, oh, I hate Trump or whatever, you know. They're just, they're all like fiending over, you know, they're all like recovering from heroin overdoses and all that stuff. But it's just, it's bizarre behavior, you know. You see, and they don't, if you're wearing anything that, you know, you're a clean cut individual, they automatically just like screech, and they sense that they're not, you're not degenerate.
You don't
like
stink. What's your problem?
Right. What's your problem? Do you love Hitler?
You're supposed to stink. It's
creepy, creepy stuff.
You don't stink. What's up? What's up with you? Did you shower today?
Where's your Satanist shirt?
There's no showering. Totally, totally ridiculous. And yeah, now you can see what happens. I don't know if you've been watching, but our reporter, Millie Weaver, had pee thrown on her, and they went and were, I guess, stalking her because they broke into her car and stole her camera. I mean, it never ends with
these people. Disgusting, disgusting people. I don't know what motivates somebody to go out into the public world and harass other individuals just because you disagree. They have like a loathing for, you know, existence or success or happiness of any kind. It's very
and
weird.
They can't have a debate. They're pissed off their child rape defender didn't get into office. They're pissed off that their socialist agenda can't continue. They're pissed off that there's a president that speaks his mind and isn't beholden to the elite swamp in D.C. He says whatever he thinks. And, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but you know what? I'm glad we have a president that's speaking his mind and not just going, well, is this okay to say? Is this okay to say? No, he's his own man. I'd rather take that any day.
At least you know what he's thinking. At least you know that he's not sneaking around, telling you one thing out of one side of his mouth and then conspiring to sell guns to the cartel or to, you know, let Americans die in Benghazi.
To demonize the Second Amendment. That's also part of their plan. Eric Holder's plan was to send guns to Mexico to demonize the Second Amendment, because then they'd be used in crimes. Oh, and they happen to shoot a border guard and other people here on this side of the state. But that's okay, you know, because the government was running the operation, government good.
No big deal. No big deal at all when you sell guns that are used to commit crimes against American law enforcement. It's no big deal. It's whatever. But Trump said a bad word on TV talking about NFL players. Millionaires had their feelings hurt, so that's a big deal. But don't worry, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you know, running guns and drugs into the third world. It's no big deal.
Hey, the dad in the Christmas story called him the Bumpus' sons of bitches, so I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
It's a great scene when they steal the turkey.
Personally.
Oh, now that's anti-American. Jake, you have a report coming up. Hopefully in the third hour we're going to play it. What is your report on?
Yeah, it's just about ready. It's actually on what happened this weekend in Tennessee, the shooting. It compares a lot of the news stories that we've had in the past, similar ones, some having to do with racism. It compares those and the media coverage around those to the near silent media coverage that we've seen on this past shooting.
It's like it didn't even happen because there wasn't the right narrative.
Before the third hour, yeah.
Had it been a white guy shooting black people, it would be all over the news. But since it's a black guy killing white people, we can't let out the dirty secret that the media is a bunch of race baiters.
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
All right. We're not going to talk about it later, but we are going to talk about it. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Rob Dew. That's Jake Lloyd. You're watching The War Room. Coming up, hopefully, Roger Stone. I don't know. He's being sequestered by the Russians right now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/
This is the return of the Republic, and this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Here's another American. Calling out tragedy when he sees it. And scum.
I love that
Now, do we have a political outcry when that happened? No. No, we didn't. The man stole his turkey, the Bumpuses, and he went ballistic on him. And that's kind of what Trump's doing. He's watching, literally, the turkey is the American flag, and he's watching it being torn apart by these pathetic football players, and he's calling them sons of bitches. And everybody wants to go, oh, you're calling Colin Kaepernick a sons of bitch. Hey, he ain't even playing baseball or football right now. He's not even playing. So how could he be talking about him? He's talking about all the other guys who are taking a knee and don't care. We're going to have a John Bound report coming up. In fact, let's go to that report right now.
You know, just a little frustrated, man. Because this guy that we've put in charge has tried to divide us once again. You know, that's just something I can't stand for, man. And we got, you know, Jameel Hill and Colin Kaepernick and, you know, all these people are speaking up and, you know, it's for the great of cause.
They'll call LeBron James a superstar. He's a super punk. Out calling our president a bum, another narcissistic mental patient. So these are nothing but paid shills of the very same criminal dirtbag combine that owns Hollywood. And their power is waning, and they know they don't have that firm grip around America's neck anymore, and they've pushed total race war funded by that piece of garbage, George Soros, and that hadn't worked, so they're going full tilt right now. They are balls to the walls in an attempt to bully us back into submission. Of course, you know the famous saying, love it or leave it. And I know the American flag's been used for some wars that were wrong and has been used for even globalist operations. But now the very globalists themselves are trying to get rid of the American flag and the Bill of Rights and Constitution. So we hate our own culture and accept globalism that is designed to be evil. America was the idea of freedom, and just that idea changed the world. We were exceptional. We did produce the greatest freedom. We did develop the ideas of the West and science and technology and open free societies, something nobody else did. And now the globalists use our strength, our goodness, our altruism, our openness against us, knowing we have a conscience, to bully us into submission, to blackmail us, to attack us until there's no end to what we won't give in to once we start bowing. Once we start stepping, once we start fetching, when they say jump, we say how high. And it just shows you how desperate they are to maintain control over the American people.
The basic philosophy between the so-called extreme left people and communists and socialists and the so-called philosophy on the right of the fascists and the Nazis was really the same. How can this be? They're supposed to be opposites of each other. And then I began to realize that there is something more common to all of these philosophies that was left out of my training and education. And that was the ideology of collectivism. I began to realize that the thing that was common to them all is something called collectivism. Now, that's a word that is not very well used. It's not very entrenched in the vocabulary of most people today. But I found out that it was a very commonly used word about a century ago. People wrote a lot about collectivism, and the opposite of that would be individualism. Those are two words that are sort of abandoned today, but in my view, I think they need to be recaptured.
Is the War Room.
All right, a lot happening today in the War Room. I've got guests coming on and canceling and moving around because there's a lot going on. Roger Stone's getting prepared for his statement that he's going to deliver tomorrow to the House Judiciary Committee, or the House Intelligence Committee, House Intelligence Committee, led by Adam the Constipated Turtle Schiff. And, you know, about how he's involved with the Russians. In fact, there's a tweet Roger put out. You guys have that tweet standing by? I think I liked it. Might have retweeted it earlier. Yeah, here it is. I found a picture of Roger Stone getting ready for tomorrow. There it is. Preparing for my testimony for the House Intelligence Committee tomorrow, 9 a.m. And there's the book, The Russians. The Russians. And following him around with camera in tow is Michael Zimmerman, who's now joining us via phone to tell us what's going on as Stone prepares a masterful opening statement against these weirdo scum swamp dwellers. Michael, can you hear me?
I can. So we are here.
All right.
On the
so tell us
DC.
What's going on. Go ahead.
We're here on the ground in D.C. Roger passed on his regrets that he couldn't join us right now, but he is hard at work with multiple attorneys crafting this statement tomorrow, which we'll actually be recording this evening and releasing the first to release it tomorrow morning, right when Roger goes in to give his statement to the House Intelligence Committee. So he's crafting that right now, going over all the fine details, making sure everything's perfect.
That's to get ahead of the narrative, as the press is going to come in and say, oh, Roger Stone admits he worked with the Russians. Look, we have a photo of him. We have a photo right here. He posted on Twitter. He's working with the Russians. And they'll run with that over and over and over again.
That's about the level of brilliance of some of these people. They might actually not get the joke and run with that photo you were talking about with the book as being a legitimate confession to working with the Russians. These people are out of their minds.
And that is the power. Roger Stone is a master troll right there. He is trolling the media right now. Now, Michael, I don't know if Roger said anything about this, but this morning it came out, Jared Kushner has been conducting White House business through a secret email account, sending it up months after Hillary Clinton was slammed using a private server. Now, if I don't know if this shows his incompetence, I don't know what else can. What do you think of this, Jared Kushner using a private email to talk with White House reps?
We discussed this a little bit at dinner last night, and I believe Roger's comment was, well, the same thing should happen to him as what they did to Hillary for using a private server.
Oh, which is, she didn't have the intent to pass out classified information, so we're not going to do anything. That's what the FBI director said. There was
no intent. This does just seem like stupidity on Kushner's part, though. You can't around for, you know, the entire campaign cycle talking about Hillary's emails, which are a legitimate issue. You can't run around, you know, talking about that when you're doing the same thing. It's really,
and it wasn't just low life, you know, assistants. He was talking apparently to Prince Priebus, Steve Bannon, Gary Cohen,
right?
And spokesperson Josh Raffa. Yeah, go ahead.
All of these people, when they're receiving these emails, and they can clearly see it's from Jared's personal email. Why are none of them saying, "Hey, man, we need to use our official emails for this. We're doing government business."
Yeah. Hey, bro. I guess nobody's allowed to talk to Jared like that, because he's the president's son-in-law.
Well, no, he's very special.
Now, an investigation found no proof of sensitive or classified information was released, and Kushner claims that most of these emails were, people sent him an email, so he was replying back to them, and who knows if it was about setting up drinks or, you know, whatever Jared Kushner does in his off time. But they're saying it wasn't any classified information. So they said it was
talking about yoga and organizing a wedding, right?
Exactly. Yoga poses. Fewer than 100 emails from January through August were sent or returned by Mr. Kushner to colleagues in the White House from his personal email account. And I agree. The same thing that happens to him should happen to Hillary Clinton. But we'll see if people go up in arms. They're going to say, see, they do it too. Well, let's punish them. Let's punish everybody who breaks the law and does this, who's conducting White House business. Let's see what the emails are. Let's see if it was just yoga poses and planning a wedding, which I don't believe it was. There, in fact, Judicial Watch keeps coming out with evidence that it wasn't.
There shouldn't be a double standard here. He needs to be held accountable for what he did, just like Hillary needs to be held accountable. Totally agree.
I think that would be juicy to get him out from the hair of the president by doing something stupid like this. Totally ridiculous. Now, have you heard any fallout? What's going on in D.C. talking about this shooter at the church? Is anybody even talking about this story? Is it even making the national news?
I have not heard many people talking about it, because this is the kind of thing that gets swept under the rug very quickly. First off, it was a black guy who went into a church and was shooting at white people. And then, of course, as you were tweeting about earlier, I saw those. It was a Second Amendment issue. This was a good guy with a gun who stopped a bad guy with a gun. Like we've always talked about when supporting, you know, the Second Amendment, it's so you can protect yourself. So someone who was lawfully exercising their rights went to their car, retrieved a weapon, and stopped the shooter until the police got there. And the local police there are calling him a hero.
Yeah. And he doesn't even want the hero praise. He's like, no, it's the first responders who are heroes, the people who save these people.
I was just doing what I was supposed to do. I mean, that's what any of us would do in that situation.
Exactly. And you know what else? You know, he's 22 years old. He's a millennial. I think there might be some hope for the world after all. We got millennials who are concealed carry. They go to church and they stop bad guys with guns. I don't know what more you could ask for in a person. You yourself are a good carrier of Second Amendment.
Who carries a gun.
Obviously exactly.
Not while in D.C.
No, of course not. Because you're not allowed to have any rights there. They want you to be picked off.
Like Seth Rich.
Exactly. Poor Seth Rich. He was killed by a gun, had nobody to defend himself. Yeah, and notice we haven't heard much about Seth Rich lately. It's like that old investigation's kind of dropped off. They've done their best to conceal it. The Awan brothers have kind of kicked off, but we haven't heard much about that lately. No, the talk of the town now is going to be Roger Stone, the man who worked with the Russians to bring down Hillary Clinton. And I can't wait to hear his opening statement. I can't wait to see the video. I can't wait to see the leftist, like Media Matters and everybody crap their drawers when they realize we're not going to go down. We're going to stand up to bullies. And that's the theme, I think, of this whole show. People standing up to bullies.
This is going to be juicy. He has perfect responses to all of the attacks that they've come out and publicly said about him, all of these claims that they've made, which are completely false, about Roger Stone. They're saying he was involved with all these things that he was not a part of, but people definitely need to check out that statement tomorrow morning when it's released. It's going to be sent to the press late tonight. First thing tomorrow morning, there will be an article on InfoWars, and the video will come out around 9 o'clock, 9:30 Eastern time.
You know, Michael, you haven't been here fighting the InfoWar not even 2 years yet. What is it like to be in the trenches and knowing something that you're going to put out and have your hands on directly tied to is going to be seen by millions of people by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning?
It's significant. I mean, you realize just what an impact that InfoWars is having, you know, thanks to the audience and, you know, thanks to the people who want to get the truth out. Roger was making the comment at dinner last night that, you know, when he walks the streets in New York City, he just has people walk up to him and he goes, you know, this never happened before he got involved with InfoWars a little over a year ago. This just recognition in public, the InfoWarriors are out there in full force and they see him on the streets and they come up to him. And they go, oh man, we love you, Roger. You know, tell Alex we said hello.
Well, that's awesome. I don't know if you heard this because you've been so busy, but we were playing some of Millie's live stream, trying to talk to some of these anti-fascist people who were marching through the streets of Berkeley. And they threw pee on her for trying to ask questions, holding a microphone, started throwing pee on her.
Well,
and then they broke into her car and stole her camera.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what it's like. That's what the tolerant left is.
I'm not shocked. It's California. I've told you before, I don't enjoy going to these events anymore because there's, other than documenting just how insane these people have become, there's nothing for us to gain anymore. They won't carry a conversation with us. They won't answer questions. They just throw urine on you.
They're always going to be scum. That's what they are.
They won't give an interview. They won't debate you. I mean, those days have passed, I believe.
Exactly. Mike, we're going to break. Stay tuned. I got a couple follow-up questions for you on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. It's the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can watch the live streams at InfoWars.com/show. Are you spreading that link? If not, do it. I see tweets like this from Mark Dice. I really feel good about where I stand with Donald Trump. Guys, get a little zoomy on this guy right here. So we got President Obama at the time giving Ellen DeGeneres a medal. And then we got Donald Trump giving a Vietnam War hero a medal. Notice the difference. And, you know, I'm sure Obama gave out medals to war heroes as well. But here he is honoring a talk show host with like a Medal of Freedom award. You brought my wife, I mean husband, on the show and let her dance. I mean him dance. In fact, if you watch that, that's probably the biggest evidence of a package if you're going to go down that road, which I'm not 100%, but it looks suspicious when you watch that. She even grabs herself at some point, or himself. I don't know. If she wants to be called a her, we'll call her a her. Miss Michelle. I still have Michael Zerman on the show. Michael, I'm going to bring this up with Roger Stone's Padawan learner, who's in the control room right now. That's Jack Posobiec. But it has to do with Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters. They were actually asking for ID to get into their concert. And Jack actually tweeted that out. That's where I saw that. And then I think Jack showed the picture of the Mexican ID you have to vote in Mexico. All right. What do you think of that? And everybody's mad. They turned away 200 people. Wait. The concert was just a few miles from the Manchester Arena, or a few hours from there, where terrorists blew up a bunch of people after the Ariana Grande concert. So do you agree with that? Should you have to have an ID to get into a concert?
Let's see. You have to have an ID to get a drink. I get carded all the time. Mm-hmm. And you have to have an ID to get on an airplane.
Yeah.
And you have to have an ID to check out a library book.
But yeah.
Let's see. A very important, significant thing, like voting. Oh, no ID.
Yeah, no
that.
ID. Right. You're racist if you don't have an ID to do that. All right. I'm going to let you go after I throw this at you. What do you think about what's going on with the NFL? Apparently, their ratings are down 8% since Trump threw his ball in the ring with what's going on with these kneelers, these flag kneelers. What's your feeling about this? I know you're a huge NFL guy. I'm kidding. But how do you feel about all this?
I've never cared about professional sports, but at the same time, you look and you see these photos of they can't fill stadiums at the moment. People haven't been showing up to games anyway. The NFL was already having issues with fans. And then you have to consider the base of the NFL. Who's watching these games? It's not people who hate America. It's not, you know, these communists in Berkeley. They're not NFL's bread and butter for buying the merchandise, going to games, getting the, you know, season packages on their TV, the stuff that actually makes the NFL money. So they're alienating their base by virtue signaling on this whole taking a knee issue. If you read their own policies, they say you should be standing for the flag. All players should be on the, you know, sidelines of the field. But the NFL is going against their own policies on this. Just a virtue signal and make the left happy. They're the ones watching football.
Exactly. They don't know who their fans are. It's so sad. We're showing a picture right now of a San Francisco 49ers game where there's probably 20,000, maybe 10,000 people. I don't know. There's nobody in the stands. I can't believe all those people in the nosebleed section aren't moving down. I mean, it is amazing what's going on. I think they're playing the Rams.
Darren McBrain has been posting some things on Facebook about how he's just done with football. I'd like to encourage him to do a video and burn his football merchandise.
Ooh. I wonder if Joe Biggs will burn his Patriots gear. Joe Biggs is a big Patriots fan. And in fact, he's been putting out tweets too. He's done with football. I never thought that would happen.
No, these are both people who, you know, are talking about football all the time. Oh, did you see the game Sunday?
Yeah.
I know.
Which there's nothing wrong with. Football, it's an escape.
Right. You're kind of into it, but not like they are. I had one more point to make regarding Roger Stone's testimony tomorrow to the House Intelligence Committee. So Roger's going in at around 9 o'clock, but at 8:30 in the morning in the southeast corner of the Capitol complex, pretty much right across the street from the Library of Congress, there's going to be a number of Stone supporters there, InfoWarriors out there. I've heard that the Blacks for Trump group is going to be there from Florida. The one who was on the show the other day and was holding a sign behind the president at the rally.
Oh, okay. So
a number of people are going to be out there in support of Roger Stone. So anyone in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area can come down 8:30 in the morning. Stone will be meeting with supporters.
Give that location again.
And then also after
give that location again before we go on.
It's the south. If they could pull up a map, even it's in the southeast corner of the Capitol complex. I believe the streets are First and drawn a blank on the other one. It's right across the street from the Library of Congress, though.
All right. Hey, tweet that out. Have Roger tweet that out. I'll retweet it. I'll throw it out on Alex's Twitter as well. And so we can get a nice sizable crowd before Roger goes in to take on the House Intelligence Committee led by the constipated turtle, Adam Schiff.
And once he actually goes in, people will be able to go through the Capitol Visitor Center and supposedly be able to be in the waiting area right outside where all the media is, too.
Ah. Now, wouldn't that be great if Stone fans and InfoWarriors take over this press conference? Because you know the press is going to be there, and they're going to be looking for comments from people, too. It's a good time to, like, talk about all kinds of things, like, what about the collusion with the Ukrainians and the Democratic Party? Why aren't we talking about that? What about the Awan brothers? Lots of little things that the media doesn't want to talk about.
Of John Podesta's emails. They're very focused on how the emails came out. They say it's the Russians. I don't think it was. I believe it was through someone who works within the DNC.
Yeah, and it's not even kind of pointing. It could even be the Awan brothers who did that. Maybe they leaked it to Seth Rich.
Yeah, they're skimming over the contents of these emails, though. The reason she lost was the contents of the emails, not how they got out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talking about the American people, how they're dumb, they're stupid, talking about the pizza parties, talking about the kids in the hot tub. Pretty sick stuff. And now we finally see Wiener. Wiener's getting 21 months in the federal pen. What do you think of that?
That was excellent news to wake up to this morning. I hope nothing bad happens to him while in prison. I've heard they don't treat pedophiles too well.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really like pedophiles in prison too much. I hope he doesn't get any special treatment.
I saw a photo on Twitter right before coming on. Did you know Bill Clinton actually officiated the wedding between Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner?
Wow. Married by a rapist.
Married by a rapist, a pedophile married to an Islamicist.
Married by a Rapist, the new sitcom on CBS.
It's a match.
Starts tomorrow. Actually, starts November 6th when he goes to prison. Well, Michael, thank you for joining us. Be sure you send those tweets out. We'll be looking forward to that statement tomorrow early in the morning. We will have the exclusive statement. Oh, there's the picture there. There's Bill.
Bill Cloud, now pronounce you Huma and Wiener. Oh, I love these two.
Thank you for joining us, Michael Zimmerman. Hard at work. One of our younger InfoWarriors, but very talented guy who knows a lot more about computers than I do. I'm humbled at his abilities. Time and time again. Great guy to have on the InfoWar. Stay tuned. We're going to be back. In fact, I'm going to get Jack Posobiec in here now because I don't think we're going to have Roger Stone. He's still talking with his lawyers. So we'll be right back after this short message. InfoWars.com/show is the live link. You can watch it now live.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's the War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream right now at InfoWars.com/show.
Well, it sure is bustling in here in the War Room. Alex Jones is in here talking to my guest, who we're going to bring in a little early. We brought him in about half an hour early because, things don't always go as planned with live TV. So you just have to roll with it.
You see, I tell people I'm going to show up at one time, but then I show up at another time. It's a basic OPSEC procedure.
I'm going to teach
you guys this.
Excellent.
I'm going to use my Navy intel background to convey the secrets, the benefits that I've learned.
And your Russian double agent intel?
Yes, exactly. Of course. We'll tell you everything from my impeccable Russian heritage language, except that I'm Polish.
And the Poles weren't big fans of the Russians either.
No. Anyone who actually has any iota of understanding about that region or knows anything, Poles were not fans of Russia in any way whatsoever.
You know what the Poles were good at? Kicking the Turks out.
The Poles were very, very good at that. That's actually something that I've been considering, believe it or not, considering writing a project about, a long-form writing project about how King Sobieski, 1683, the original September 11th, at the gates of Vienna, that was the siege. And that's where it was the Poles led the charge, the Winged Hussar.
The Golden Wings.
Sabaton has this amazing song about it. And it's commemorated. People in Europe know this. People in the U.S. don't know about it because they don't teach history. They teach you, like, the revolution, and then
everyone owned slaves. And then everyone owned slaves. Everyone owned slaves.
We genocided the Indians, which is another vastly blown out of proportion kind of thing. And everything was wrong. World War II happened. We beat the Nazis, and then everything was great until Trump got elected.
Right. Well, and I tell you that this is what I like around about the Indian thing. The Indians were not killed by settlers.
No.
More often than not, they were killed by the U.S. government. The U.S. government went on a genocide program and killed Indians. And that's what they did.
Which party was leading that? Trail of Tears, yeah. Andrew Jackson. Was that a Republican program?
No, it actually wasn't.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that was actually the Democrats once again with that situation. See, when you actually go back and look into these things, when you look into the Civil War, we look into the treatment of Indians, we look into Jim Crow, it always seems to be one party. But it's never the party that seems to get blamed for those things.
Exactly.
That actually is the one that committed it. Funny how that works. It's just funny how that works. I don't know.
Now, before we go any further, I have to do a plug. It's been an hour and 35 minutes since we started the show, and I haven't plugged yet. And that is the problem, because I have so much news, so many video clips. I mean, it's just, it keeps coming. We got our reporters getting pee thrown on them. And, they're like, plug, Rob, plug, please.
You got to support the InfoWorld.
You got to support the InfoWorld.
5 minutes, support the InfoWorld.
Exactly. So I'm going to take the next few minutes. We're going to talk about a few of the products here. Chocolate and strawberry caveman true paleo formula, 50% off retail at InfoWarsStore.com for a limited time. I've tried both. I like them both equally. I also mix either one with the vanilla whey protein powder that we also sell. It's a great 1-2 punch. And I tell you, it is a true meal replacement if you're looking, say, lunchtime. A lot of guys here, they immediately when they're done, they run out and eat lunch. Like, it's a religion for these guys to go to lunch. And I bet if they just did a big glass of paleo formula mixed with the protein powder, boom, they wouldn't have to go to lunch. They'd save some money and also maybe a little, getting old up there. I'm starting to get a little bigger on the waistline. So I think it could help anybody out there who's looking to do this skip a lunch or skip a meal program. Maybe you do it for breakfast or maybe you do it for dinner. I think there's different ways to do it. Do what's best for you and try it out. But it's got turmeric root, chaga mushroom, bee pollen, bone broth, which we know that Alex Jones really likes the bone broth, and it tastes like Ovaltine if you've watched the little ad going on.
One big thing with protein powder that I'll use, I'll make a shake. And I'll make it right before a workout.
Yeah.
So I mix it up. I might throw some banana in there, some other stuff, even some flavoring if you want some seasoning, something like that. And I'll get it all set up, have it chilling, go do my workout, come back, I'll get it right after first 20, 25 minutes. And I'm telling you, feel it the rest of the day. Because that is when your muscles are... That when they're replenishing, right?
Right. They're looking for fuel.
Your body knows this. Your body knows whatever part you just worked on needs more blood.
Yeah.
So that's the point when you want to inject those nutrients in your bloodstream, because then you're going to send it directly to there.
And not to bring up a football analogy, but Tom Brady does the exact same thing.
There you go.
That was one of the few articles. Because I'm like, this guy's 40 years old.
Who didn't kneel.
He didn't kneel. And he's playing football at 40 at a high level.
And killing it. He had one of the games of his life yesterday.
What does he do? He doesn't drink, doesn't eat sugar, doesn't eat dairy. And eats a lot of vegetables, protein powder, and electrolytes. It's literally a Brondo diet.
Brondo's got what Tom Brady craves.
So try your caveman today. It's 50% off right now. Also, we still have, I can't believe this, we still have this, the storable select, InfoWars Select storable food. We still have this? Is this really? We still have it. I can't believe it. Ends tonight. Oh my goodness. 50% off with promo code READY. And I think promo code IRMA will also work, IRMA or READY, if you want to add the extra letter to it. 50% off the high-quality Super Blue toothpaste and mouthwash. Also, 50% off Caveman chocolate and strawberry formula. Oh, another thing I do with protein powder?
What's that?
I put it on cereal. I also put it on ice cream.
Ice cream? How does it taste on ice cream?
Tastes great.
That actually sounds like a great idea.
Makes me feel like it's health food.
You can justify, right? Put it on your ice cream. Just add some Snickers in there.
I do coconut oil on the ice cream with the chocolate syrup.
And that actually is.
It almost turns into magic.
Not the show. And then you pull a rabbit out at the end.
And then I put the protein.
We're not talking about that.
So it's good stuff. Check it out. InfoWarsStore.com is how you can support everything we do here. Sending our reporters out, building more studios. We got a studio right next to me we're going to build. It's going to be the biggest studio we've built to date. We're redoing Alex's original studio to be a very cool, intimate podcast area that I think is going to blow people away and really set the standard for podcast studios. And it's it's, you know, barring, Joe Rogan has the fake brick background. We're going to do a little bit better.
So I actually just got my first tour of the mothership here at the Infowars.
Is this your first time here?
This is my first, literally, less than 30 minutes ago, walked around the first tour. And I got to tell you, from outside, you wouldn't know that the bunker is quite this large. Yeah. Then when you get in and you walk through each door, it opens up to you. It reveals more of its secrets.
And there's beautiful lights and stuff. Yeah, this studio.
The lights, got to see the grotto, the waterfall and everything. But no, in all seriousness, the studio size of that place, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be able to do so much in there. You're going to be able to fit more cameras, more people. You're going to be able to do panel shows.
We're going to do some jib shots, which we haven't done before.
Yeah, exactly. Jib. You might even fit. We have talked to Alex for this. You might even be able to get like a live audience or something.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Possibly.
I don't know.
I don't know if I want to deal with those headaches.
We'd have to see. there is no, and I can confirm to everyone, there is no canned laughter or applause here at all on the show. I can confirm that.
I laugh at my own jokes.
No, it's all just Rob.
That's it. So already today we talked about the shooting at the church in Tennessee?
Right.
And then
just outside of Nashville, guy, just as evil as Dylann Roof.
Yeah.
But for some reason is not getting the same level of media scrutiny, national media outrage.
Right.
That same type of situation, not too far away Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Charleston, where it took place, no national media outrage, but very similar incident. Don't know why this guy, Sudanese migrant who came in, and when I first heard about it, looked him up on Facebook, found the profile, found Twitter actually deleted his account.
Oh, that's what they
almost
did.
Immediately. Yeah. And so we're not really sure what was on there. There were a couple like archive shots that were floating around sort of in the ethers of the internet, but it was hard to verify if it was actually him or not. But some very interesting posts about, you know, coming to the U.S. in 96, he came in as a migrant and feeling disillusioned with the United States, said, this wasn't what was promised to me. This wasn't the opportunity. And I almost stepped back and I said, man, you got a free ticket. That's like
into
the United States.
The best country in the world.
It's like the golden ticket, Willy Wonka, right? Like this, I mean, so many people want to come to the country. The lines are very long. People in some cases go through to incredible extremes to come in illegally just because they want to come to this country.
Right.
Here you get one for free and this is what he does with it.
Yeah. He decides he has to shoot people. A bodybuilder. I bet he didn't have a weight set where he was in the Sudan. I bet there was no weight gym or a bunch of gyms.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at this guy's Instagram, it seems like the only thing he ever did was run around and work out all day.
Yeah, stay with us. We'll be right back. Infowars.com. Live, and there's a war on for your mind, and there's lots of players in this play, what we call humankind and mankind, what's going on right now. So you have a choice, you know, you have a choice to give in to what is being said out there by all the mainstream media talking heads who have a vested interest in keeping you stupid and keeping you asleep and keeping you complacent, because they want you to go out and keep producing for them so they can do whatever they want to you. People like the mayor of London, who has started up a war of words again with Donald Trump. Let me find that. I keep throwing my articles away. Sadiq Khan compares Donald Trump to terror group ISIS as he reignites his bitter feud with the U.S. president. Now, how many times has President Trump, you could probably answer this because you live in D.C., how many times has he lined up soldiers on the Potomac and start cutting their heads off?
Since President Trump, so he's been inaugurated, 9 months?
Yeah.
Since he's been in, let's see, divide the four, zero. He's never once beheaded people in front of the White House.
All right, now how many times?
To the best of my knowledge.
How many times has he gone into a church and start breaking statues and throwing crosses down and blowing up monuments around D.C.?
Is it Donald Trump or the other guy?
Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
Donald Trump.
No, none.
None. Okay. How many times has Donald Trump taken money from John McCain?
I don't think he's ever taken money from John McCain.
John McCain's funded ISIS.
Oh,
and now
boy.
We're supposed to feel bad for John
and
McCain.
Met with the leaders of ISIS before they became ISIS.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it was like the boy band on their way up.
I've met these guys. These are very fine people.
My friends.
My friends. These are good people. I have dinner with them. I give them money. And now I'm so traumatically guilty over the process. I've developed a excruciating headache. But there we have Sadiq Khan comparing Donald Trump to ISIS. He also had this to say, and we played this clip ad nauseum, about you know what it's like to live in a big city. You guys have
part and parcel.
Let's roll it.
A mayor of New York, our people, his office, our people haven't spoken to the police here. The advice we've received is 29 people have been injured. They were my thoughts and prayers. The advice we've received from the police service here and from the mayor's office is to carry on business as usual. I'm not going to speculate as to who was responsible. I'm not going to speculate
of course
as
not.
How the police in New York should react. What
he's
I do
almost
know
smiling.
Is part and parcel of living in a great global city is you've got to be almost, prepared for
like,
these
you can see his eyes are kind of turned up. Is the corners like he's almost like,
hey man, this is the way of life.
Like lit up a little bit.
I mean, come on. You live in a big city. You're supposed to get run over by guys in rental cars. You're supposed to get stabbed.
You compare that to...
supposed to get blown up at the Ariana Grande concert.
Yeah. You compare that to someone who, you know, the way the president responds to... our president responds to things saying, we're going to go after the terrorists.
Yeah.
We will respond with fire and fury. Now, he said that about North Korea, but, you know, that kind of response of, we will go after these people, period.
And in 6 months, he's pretty much decimated ISIS.
Bombings left and right. You don't hear very much about ISIS taking territory, making gains.
And he's not going around taking credit for it either. He's just like letting them do their work.
No, he isn't really. And that actually would be one of the points where I think that the White House communications team could do a little bit of a better job. Now, I understand being prior Navy myself, mm-hmm. I understand the importance for OPSEC, right? So you don't want to talk about active military operations
because
you might have sources in the field. You might have implements that are going in. You might be operating on a larger strategy. But at the same time, from a pure political standpoint, you need to take credit when there are successes. You need to let the American people know when there are successes, when it's safe to do so. So that's sort of the tightrope you have to walk in terms of running the war, but also explaining what is going on at the same time.
Right. I totally agree. And he's done a really good job at doing that and kind of turning his generals loose to say, you guys understand how to do this better than I do, so take it on. And, you know, where I did disagree with him, and I think a lot of people disagreed with him, I'm not sure what your take on this is, but when they said we're going to, you know, do a surge, essentially a surge in Afghanistan to end this war, and now we got 3,000 troops going, what are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts on it are definitely interesting. From a military perspective, I'd like to know why it is, and I'd like to hear this from the Secretary of Defense or any other members of the government. Why is it that conventional troops are being so chosen to use in this surge? Why is it that they're sending the 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, kids from, you know, from Oklahoma, from Texas, from other mm-hmm. parts of the country? Why are they sending those in rather than focusing on people who have cultural expertise, people who have understanding and knowledge, have lived in the region, worked in the region, who understand the language, who understand the culture? Why not bring more of those people in, which is kind of more what Eric Prince's plan was,
right?
Rely more on them, people who can work directly with the locals, or in some cases, supplant the locals in other operations, rather than rely on, you know, big material, big army, big tanks, big rollouts. That in
building big bases, yeah, that are big targets. Bases,
it yeah. makes you look like an occupier.
Right.
And when you look like an occupier, that what message does that send to the populace? Does that send the message of, oh, we're just here to root out terrorists, or we're here to take over your country? You know, this was the same thing that they went through under the Taliban, that they went through under Russia when Russia was going in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. So I think for any operation, go all the way back to Alexander the Great, you know, in 200 AD or 200 BC.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at Afghanistan from that kind of problem set, it makes appearances matter. Appearances absolutely matter. It's going to affect the strategy. Why has that strategy been chosen? What are the purposes for it? And what exactly is the end goal?
Right.
I haven't heard it.
And if you go back right after 9/11, they sent in special forces troops, about 100 special forces troops, teams of 12.
Operation Jawbreaker, yep. Operation Anaconda, highly successful.
Highly successful. They worked with the populace to root out the Taliban and three or so months, they'd basically kicked him out of the entire country.
Yeah, there's actually they rode horses with the Northern Alliance up there, up through the mountains in Tora Bora and other parts of Afghanistan. That's actually the I think the last time officially U.S. forces have used horse
cavalry was the cavalry.
Actually using that. And there's a statue of it. I forget exactly where it is, but why not use what worked? Right,
I think there's a statue at Ground Zero of that, of the guy on the horse.
Is it in Ground Zero?
I think so.
That's awesome.
There's a really good documentary on Netflix about it. The name escapes me, but if you guys look, Special Forces Afghanistan, Taliban, you can probably find the documentary. Because now these guys are all, you know, their late 40s, and it's all about them having a reunion and coming back. Because only a couple of them died, and it was actually they died from friendly fire. It was a friendly fire accident. Wow. They called the wrong coordinates and a shell landed on a couple of them. And, which it's sad, but when you look at how many died after that and we're still in the same place, it makes you wonder, what are we really doing there? Could we be doing better with smaller forces that are going? I don't think that's the name of it. No, it's like Soldiers of Something.
No, not that. I know what that Netflix documentary is. That's something different.
But it just came out earlier this year. But looking at it that way, that was a smarter way to fight that war. And they didn't, it seems like we've lost our way with being not deceiving, but being more unobtrusive. Because going in with a giant military, yeah, that's great for the people who own military stocks. And that's great for people who are, you know, Halliburton
CEOs. If you're Raytheon, if you're Halliburton,
yeah, you love
you're loving it. Yeah,
it's like we're building, there it is, Legion of Brothers that routed the
Taliban. Legion of Brothers, that's it.
Great documentary, and it really does. From the footage they shot, it's mostly footage that these guys shot while they were on the ground, photos, and just going in there, and they cleaned out. You could see they landed all over the country. They were being airdropped in, meeting with the locals, coming up with plans, and then rooting these guys out. And they were getting rid of them. I mean, they were winning the war, and they basically won it. And then they stopped, and then they're saying, oh, we're going to build big bases and do all this other stuff, which that, you know, if... Then you look like an occupying force.
How amazing is it that here we are 2017 and we're still talking about the same.
Yeah. No,
and it's essentially the exact same question that we had in the days after 9/11, in the month after 9/11, how are we going to respond to this? And here we are debating the same issue.
I'm still waiting to find Afghanis that were involved in 9/11.
That'd be interesting, right? Yeah. Well, they gave aid and comfort. I'm like, okay, did we get those guys? Great.
Yeah.
Then let's let it go.
Right.
You know, the president just sat down with the president of Afghanistan, Arif Ghani, at the United Nations. I hope that they put together some kind of deal, some kind of plan forward in terms of what are they to make of this surge of troops.
Right.
What are they to make of this? Because as we know, President Trump campaigned on a promise of not getting into these wars of adventure.
Right.
He campaigned very strongly on the fact that he was against the Iraq war. He was against it from the start. The media likes to quibble about that, but he was against it. And so why then basically go down this road where it looks like, is he doing stuff that could be, you know, lead to that? And obviously the bigger question is Syria, right?
Exactly.
Does it portend a greater troop deployment to Syria should conditions on the ground change? Now, there hasn't been any talk about
that recently. Thought. We're going to break. We'll be right back. I'm going to give out the number when we come back because we're going to take your calls later in the show. We're ending the second hour of War Room. Still got one more hour to go. Infowars.com/show is the live link to send to everybody you know right now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/ This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Trayvon Martin was an innocent little black child, only 14 years old, who was killed by an evil white supremacist neighborhood watchman, George Zimmerman. Obama came out and said if he had a son, it would look like Trayvon. Now, this, of course, was the case only until we discovered that George Zimmerman, first of all, was Hispanic. He actually shot Trayvon in self-defense after he attacked him. The media also chose to show pictures of Trayvon Martin as a 14-year-old boy posing with his hoodie up, just a quick little selfie, but in reality, they liked to push aside the pictures of him posing with guns, middle fingers, and drugs. Mike Brown was shot execution style by evil racist cop Darren Wilson. Now, Wilson was an admitted open leader of the local Klan chapter. And he shot Michael Brown in cold blood on his knees with his hands up, saying, please don't shoot me, Darren Wilson. CNN even had a panel in which all members sat behind the desk and they raised their hands in solidarity with the black community, saying, hands up, don't shoot, because that's what happens when a black man encounters cops. He says, hands up, don't shoot. And he shot anyways, right? Now, that was the narrative until we learned that just prior to the shooting, Michael Brown had committed strong-arm robbery over a box of Swisher Sweets. He wrestled with Wilson for the gun, and after a brief chase, he turned around to charge at Wilson, in which case he was shot primarily in the left arm. Doesn't sound like much of an execution to me, but that's what happened. Not once did the media come out and backtrack and apologize for their claims of racism. Not once did they apologize for ruining these men's lives. You can't hear the name George Zimmerman or Darren Wilson without somebody thinking of a token racist Klansman. But that's not the point. That's not the point of the media. It's not about truth. And this weekend, a man named Emmanuel Cadega Sampson walked into a predominantly white church and shot into the crowd, killing a mother of 39 years old, leaving behind two children. You'd expect that every news agency in the country would have wall-to-wall coverage and you'd be tired of hearing about it by now, but I'm not lying to you when I say that I Google searched for this story and not once, I searched through many pages, not once did I find a single article, video, or headline from CNN, MSNBC, or any other national mainstream media news source aside from Fox. In spite of clear evidence of online radicalization of a man who was brought here at 5 years old, strangely enough the same age as the Dreamers, there's been zero coverage from the MSM. In 2016, Sampson reposted a fake news article from newgenerationblackcouncil.wordpress.com. They couldn't even afford the actual domain. The article title was Police Murder a Black Panther General, Execution Style, and Try to Cover It Up, June 23rd, 2016. Now, this didn't actually happen. It was just posted by this fake news website. Sampson shared an article from Mike.com on Facebook saying, stop falling for stupidity so easily. The post said, you're more likely to be killed by a white man than a Muslim terrorist, and it featured pictures of supposed white terrorists who were motivated by their right-wing extremism. And he also shared an article that said, a former neo-Nazi and current anti-hate activist explains why the threat of white extremism must not be ignored. Well, clearly, Sampson was motivated not to ignore this. He posted something praising the Gambian president for saying, what has the West ever done for Africa? The West helped ruin slash continues to destroy Africa by providing loans that African countries can't afford after they robbed Africa for 400 years, as if African leaders have no moral agency for accepting or declining these loans. If only we had a similar story to compare this to. A man with clear mental issues who was radicalized online and motivated to shoot up a church predominantly made up of the race that he was supposed to hate. But we do have a case like that. His name was Dylan Roof, but he wasn't labeled a crazy lone wolf with mental issues. He was clearly labeled as a right-wing extremist who was motivated by his hatred of black people to shoot up a predominantly black church. But I can't help but think that's not the same angle they would take if they ever decide to cover Sampson. You think it was nothing but a joke when we said that CNN is ISIS? The fact is that CNN and the rest of the MSM has been radicalizing mentally ill people all across the country. Don't forget about the Alexandria shooting in which a radicalized left-wing terrorist shot up GOP congressmen while they were playing baseball. The chickens have come home to roost, CNN. You, as well as MSNBC, Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, and the rest of the globalist race baiters are the ones that bear the burden of this tragedy. This blood is on your hands. This has been Jake Lloyd for InfoWars.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
You know, what happened outside of Nashville in that church in Anatok, Tennessee was very sad to see that we have people that can be hit with this mind control, thinking they have to go out and kill white people. But what the silver lining in that was, a good guy with a gun stopped him. You didn't have the same thing that happened in Charleston because there was an armed populace there waiting. Cops weren't there. Cops didn't stop this guy.
Yeah, I was actually, and the crazy thing about this was, so I flew out of Nashville just a couple hours before that happened, because I had been down in Alabama for the Senate race down there, and because there's so many people coming in and out of the airport, I decided to fly out of Nashville because the prices were cheaper that way, And I met with some friends in one of the little towns. We had a great time. But I'm telling you, man, Nashville, those people, you would see people that were carrying you all over the place.
Yeah.
And everybody was okay with it because it's Tennessee.
Freedom loving. That's what you got, you know, and that's why you don't see a lot of stuff happen in Texas, because I guarantee you there's people armed in churches in Texas.
And my buddy told me straight up that he goes to a church in Tennessee, not actually really close to this one. Not, I think it might even be the same county or like one county over, and they have an armed security detail, and they just kind of take turns. Mm-hmm. Somebody guards the door.
Right.
And they just take turns with it. Say, hey, you know, do like 15, 20 minutes during the sermon, and everybody goes and does it. Everybody chips in because they just know that's what you have to do in this day and age.
Why take chances?
Yeah.
You're watching The War Room live. Infowars.com/show is the live stream. My guest is Jack Posobiec, joining me. Lives in Washington, D.C., but travels around a lot. And we're going to get into all kinds of things. We're going to talk about this football controversy that's going on, that the president seems to be on the right side. Definitely, from my point of view, I'm not a big fan of the NFL. I do watch a little college football. I like to watch my Mountaineers play. I can't say I hate the sport. I do think it's a little slow, a little too much penalties, a little too much replays. Myself, I like soccer and basketball to play. But you have on your Twitter, did you guys pull that up, the what they were saying about the president today on, and was it on CNN?
It was on CNN, and actually I was in the airport on the way down here, I just happened to catch this, and because of, you know, why would I ever turn on CNN by myself? But it might be down a little bit, but one of the CNN political commentators was coming on, and this wasn't just like a guest. This was an actual CNN guy saying that comparing Trump to a plantation owner and saying that his talk sounded like a slave master from the old South. And I turned back and said, well, hold on a second. All he said was you should stand up for the national anthem,
right,
and stand up and show respect to the flag. That's all he said. Yeah. This is the clip. Yeah.
Can we play that now? Do we have the audio for it?
I think it's a little bit long, but
let's pull it up on a computer that we can hear the audio on. Let's do that.
Yeah,
we do.
The language is just...
President George W. Bush. I just want to get you first, Keith, your reaction to what we heard from both of these players this morning.
I thought they were very calm and graceful in articulating the cause for racial equality and social justice. They spoke in a way that I'd like to see the President of the United States speak. And they're talking about an issue that Colin Kaepernick raised, which is about the mass incarceration of African Americans, which is about the killing of black people, which is about racial profiling. That's what started this issue. And this is about race. President Trump went to Alabama last Friday and gave a speech to an almost exclusively white audience and told mostly rich white owners of professional sports teams how to control their young black men. That sounds like plantation politics. That sounds like the politics of something from the 19th century, not from the 21st century. And it's completely inappropriate for this man to call for the firing of private employees from
which
company
is doing the
company that he has nothing
again
to do with.
Yeah.
Which,
Scott, what do you think?
Now
what do you
wait
think
a minute.
About,
if I have, if I'm employed, now
well,
say Alex
all,
Jones is
I
employing
that,
people. And we started protesting.
Sure.
Whatever our issue was.
If you could start protesting right now.
Right. I'm just going to stop, put my stuff down, and walk off and go protest. And Alex Jones fired me over it.
Mm-hmm.
People would be going, yeah, he's justified in doing that.
Because you weren't doing your job. your job, does he pay you to get on air and protest all day, whatever you feel like? When it's your whatever your personal issue
sure
is.
You know, there's a lot of people in this office that are for the legalization of marijuana, but we don't sit and protest on it every day. That's not our pet issue. We talk about it when it comes up, but it's not the only thing we talk about, or that, you know, we are here to talk about a variety of issues.
You're
that
not
are affecting
turning
people.
It into your personal platform.
Exactly.
You're not taking your employer's time and their platform. And look, they know they're doing this on TV. They know that there's millions of people watching, thousands in the stands. That's why they're doing it then. They're doing it for the cameras.
Right.
They're taking that opportunity. They're taking that time. We saw the one guy, LaShawn McCoy, was running around stretching it and like sticking his legs up in the air. And I was like, all right,
just
that
take a dump
even,
on the field.
That isn't even a protest. That's clearly just making it all about yourself.
Right.
And
exactly.
I mean, even
this
if,
will make the news.
Even if you are a protester, that's a bad protest because you look like a fool. I'm sorry.
Right.
You just look like a fool. You're doing stuff like that.
He's literally doing that on, you know,
On Gold Star Day.
Well, yeah, and you could say, you know, against the veterans, the first responders, the people out there that put their lives on the line to help people. And I don't want to turn this into, a rah-rah-rah thing, but I'm totally supporting these guys. I took my shirt off, threw my Bill hat on the ground, and walked out. Buffalo Bills stadium worker quits his job of 30 years in disgust. And there's been protests all over the country, and the ratings are down 8%. Here's another one on Infowars.com. Americans nationwide burn NFL tickets and shirts in solidarity with Trump. We've been showing those clips over and over again. I mean, it's hard to get Steeler fans to do anything but root for the Steelers. This guy's burning blankets, burning shirts. And I can't say that I blame them. This, they've given their all. They've put their life. I used to live in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
These people love their Steelers.
Yeah, and
they would never do this. This is sacrilegious.
You look
what
at
they're
Pittsburgh,
doing,
you know,
according to a Pittsburgher.
I am cards on the table. I am a Philadelphia guy, and none of the Eagles knelt. Just saying, but I've been out to Pittsburgh many times, and you see how economically depressed the area outside of Pittsburgh is, and it just is. That's one of the things President talked about this so much during his campaign. For them to pay for the official NFL jersey,
right?
To pay for tickets,
those things
to the
are
game,
expensive.
That's expensive, especially if you're talking about bringing a family there, bringing the kids, buying the food, et cetera, et cetera. But it's one of the biggest things to do. It's one thing they absolutely love. It's a huge part of the culture. And so to see those people, especially those people, turning around and burning the jerseys, it's huge. But the nice silver lining is this. I think it's Alejandro Villanueva, the Army Ranger,
the Soul Steeler,
who walked out there, and all he did was the same thing that he would do every Sunday,
right?
By standing out there and putting his hand over his heart during the national anthem.
Yeah.
And now his jersey, number one across.
Isn't that amazing?
All NFL sales today. This guy Villanueva. Obviously, right?
Step back for a second, right?
Wouldn't you expect that? Like, yeah, stand up for your country. This didn't used to be.
And he's
a political
like a
issue.
Defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. I mean, he's not a guy that's
He's not one of like the stars.
Right.
He's not a QB. He's not a receiver, running back, anything like that.
There it is. Sales of Illinois' football jersey skyrocket.
As they should, absolutely.
It was like Joey Villa. They both start with a V. Isn't that interesting? Joey Villa goes out, wears her Trump dress at the Grammys. Boom. Instant skyrocket
sales. Number one on iTunes the day after that. And why not? Because people are sick of this. It's like SJW PC kind of culture.
It's on steroids.
Of tearing
it's
it around.
It's gone mainstream. It's ridiculous.
And now we're learning. They say, well, Trump should stay in his lane. But what about these guys? Yeah. Hey, we want you to play football. You are paid to play football. We watch you because we want to watch football. We don't want to see political stuff. If we wanted to see political stuff, we would have turned on a political channel, not a football channel.
Well, and I think this is a feud long brewing. Harrison pointed this out earlier today to me. Harrison, why don't you share this with the audience, what you were telling me about the lovely NFL.
Well, I just think it's interesting because I was reading The Art of the Deal, and about a quarter of The Art of the Deal is about Trump trying to start the XFL and actually trying to break the monopoly of the NFL. So I think this is a long brewing feud, and he's finally sticking it to
they're on his enemies list.
That's right.
80s.
And we're going to play that video later. It looks like he's flipping off Robert Kraft. We have a bunch more. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Call in now. We're going to take your calls coming up in the rest of the War Room. Infowars.com/show. 888-201-2244. Watching the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Got about 40 minutes left. We're going to be taking your calls. My guest is Jack Posobiec.
What's up, Rob?
And we're talking about this earlier during the break. You were there at the speech when Trump made his infamous throw the sons of bitches out.
I was in Alabama, man. I was actually sitting right kind of like behind and above right where the president was standing. So I could see the teleprompters that they had up in front of him. And you can see during the speech, there'd be times where he's reading the teleprompter, and then there'd be times where he's just talking to the audience. Yeah. And when he made that comment about firing these guys, he wasn't reading the teleprompter at all. He was just kind of looking at the crowd and kind of riffing and talking. It was just really something he said off the cuff. And now all these people in the media are saying, why is he doing this now?
It was race of slave owners.
Why has he launched this uncouth attack on football?
How dare you talk about football? How
dare you do something like this, Mr. Trump? And he just kind of said it to say it. I don't think that this is any kind of, you know, overarching political strategy. I think it's just him being natural and telling you what he thinks about a situation.
It's him sitting in the easy chair with his buddies going, hey, if they don't want to stand up for the national, get them out of here. You know?
And guess what? Most of Americans probably feel exactly the same.
They feel the same way. Now, here's some interesting information. I got this off Law News. And from 2011 to 2014, the Department of Defense spent $5.4 million in contracts with 14 NFL teams for flag ceremonies, basically doing what they're doing now, coming out there doing the national anthem. The National Guard got in the action, too, gave $6.7 million to the NFL for the same thing from 2013 to 2015. So they were being told that they had to come out and stand. Private organizations, including employers like the NFL, can require employees to say or not say whatever they choose so long as that speech doesn't offend some other law. The NFL is well within its rights to require, as a term of employment, that every player sing the national anthem or stand during its playing or salute the flag. Right, so they're within their rights to make these guys do this, even though Trump says throw the guys out. The NFL could do this.
People were bringing that up. They were saying that they found like a copy of the NFL rules, and it basically said that all players should take the field by the singing of the national anthem. You stand there during, and then you go and take the field for, you know, get your practice.
Warm up
the game.
Yeah.
So it's actually listed in the NFL rules to say that, yes, you do have to stand for the flag.
Yeah. And this was all during Obama, though. They were being forced to stand for the flag during Obama.
Yeah, that's kind of the
Isn't that interesting?
Piece. Nobody said
a word back then, though.
Yeah, everybody says that this started... that all this is about Trump. Oh, it's all about Trump. It's all about Trump. Excuse me, wait a minute. Was Colin Kaepernick doing that in 2016 when Trump wasn't president? But we're going to have historical revisionism and say, no, it was all about
Trump.
It was
Trump all because of Trump.
Right, and this is back, remember, this is back.
Kaepernick's a time traveler. He gets that head.
Oh,
head.
That's what
it is. It's actually a time traveling device, all that hair. He's like,
That's his time travel. Right. So he just spins uses in a that, circle, spins around.
He throws an interception and he travels back in time. I mean, he's great. Now, here's another one. NFL Ravens getting $130,000 to promote Obamacare. This was in 2013. It was a sponsorship agreement between the Maryland Health Connection and the Ravens. And they were the Super Bowl champs at the time. So they were getting paid money to promote Obamacare. That's okay because it was Obama.
I always remember this during the Obama administration, during those years, how it just seemed like the NFL was becoming
creepy.
More and more political, was getting more and more in bed with Obama. And then when they did the Obamacare, it was like...
It's overt.
This is so overt.
They were spreading their legs.
Right, this is so huge. So how is this... And you turn back and they say, oh, you know, it's just something... No, this is by design.
Yeah.
It's absolutely by design.
Totally by design. Secretary Napolitano announces if you see something, say something campaign. They announced that in partnership with the NFL and they first started doing it at one of the Super Bowls. Okay, but now you have a guy who wants to wear some 9/11 cleats and he's going to get fined for doing that.
Wait, but I thought the NFL supported freedom of expression, the First Amendment to the Constitution, Rob.
Now here's ranking this week's NFL files from chalk tossing to imaginary archery. And if you guys go to this article, there's actually some of the video of this. So some guy named Terrence Pryor celebrates LeBron style after receiving his first touchdown in the NFL, works real hard, gets fined $9,000. That's what you get for working hard. Okay. Antonio Brown's pelvic thrust. Okay. All right. Pelvic thrust. Gets fined $24,000 for a pelvic thrust. Blake Bortles punts a football after a TD. He gets fined $6,000. Josh Norman's bow and arrow. Go to that because he's wearing the Washington Redskins uniform.
I remember
this. He pulls
this.
Out
yeah.
and he does the arrow thing. What did he get fined for that? Let's see. $10,000. There it is.
There it is.
That's a cost you $10,000.
$10,000.
$10,000.
You can't disrespect the end zone,
right.
But you can disrespect the national anthem.
That's okay.
Wow.
You could take a dump on the flag. That's quite all right. But if you wear the wrong cleats, we're going to fine you. Okay? That's what's wrong with the NFL.
Don't you dare bring up 9/11. Don't you dare say never forget 9/11.
Exactly. It's insane. And then you have, let's see. I keep organizing my articles in a different way.
There's a lot of news out today. There's so much going on. I mean, we're just going to talk about the cultural stuff. There's legislative stuff. Roger's going on.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. There's a lot.
Thing tomorrow. There's a ton.
Well, then you have this guy from Grey's Anatomy, Jesse Williams, says the national anthem is a scam convincing Americans to join the military and fly overseas. And in part, he is kind of right. It was back in the day when they were forcing people to do this and stand up, and it was a money for money thing. See, here's the thing. Trump's not giving them money anymore. There's no money coming from the government to the NFL. Now we got to start this thing. Now Trump's the bad guy because he's not propping up the professional sports. He's not propping up these snot-nosed whiners.
See, the other thing about this is the NFL is a nonprofit organization.
Well, up until 2015, they did change that because I was looking for that too.
Oh, you changed that.
73 years. For 73 years, they didn't pay taxes.
So now... we're at the point now where we're looking at how much does the NFL pay in taxes? Should they pay more in taxes? A lot of these stadiums, we're getting tax cuts,
the
buildings, tax exemptions.
And they go, we're providing jobs.
And now they're going to pick a fight with the most powerful politician in America.
Exactly.
Not the smartest business strategy. I'm not an NFL owner, but, you know, not what I would do if I was going to be running a business.
Right. And we got about a minute 44 left. Let's go to Lee in Nebraska. Wants to talk about the NFL and a question for Jack about North Korea. Go ahead, Lee.
Okay. Glad to talk to you guys. Basically, I'm a 70-year-old retired physician that quit because of Obamacare early. And I stand with the president on Obamacare. I stand with the president, rather, on the NFL. And I'd like to ask Jack something about Korea.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say we have weapons that we don't acknowledge that we have, and we could easily wipe things out with them. And we don't want to use them because we don't want to give our hand to China and Russia. But damn, you know they know about it anyway. So why not use them, get rid of the bastard in North Korea, and be done with it?
All right, you got 30 seconds, Jack. Go.
It comes down to blowback. Honestly, the issue with that becomes if you break it, you bought it. So if we knock them out of power, what do you do with the refugee, the humanitarian crisis that would come with that?
All right.
Well, I realize that that would be a problem, but reunite them.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you got to reunite Korea. Hey, Lee, thanks for calling. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
All right, you're watching The War Room. Got about half an hour left. My guest is Jack Posobiec. We're taking your calls. And I want to play this video. This is from Austin Fletcher, who's also down in Berkeley. And we're going to play part of this video that he has on YouTube. He's also known as Fleckus Talks. He has the big spoon with the microphone.
He's awesome.
He's mixing it up.
I love his videos. They're so good.
He's a great guy. Because he kind of looks like a liberal. And so people think he's a liberal and they'll talk to him.
He can blend in.
And then
he knows their ways.
Then he opens up on them. It's great. We're going to play part of this video and you can watch the rest online. And let's go to it.
This is a recruitment rally. This is a neo-Nazi recruitment rally that you guys are protecting.
Where are they? Which are the Nazis?
Neo-Nazi recruitment rally. They are openly trying to recruit fascists.
And Milo's Jewish.
Hey guys, it's Fleckus. This week we're at Berkeley for Free Speech Week that got canceled. But we're still having a day of free speech anyway. Fleckus talks.
I think the police are not here to protect the people because they are promoting hate speech.
How does that work?
Well, because what they're doing is they're allowing sick people like Yiannopoulos and Coulter and Bannon and these sick people
debate
to
them.
Promote hate speech and to go
That's
ahead and
right there.
Basically brainwash Americans into believing that it's okay to cull people and to put them into camps.
Well, they're pro-misogyny.
I don't recall anyone saying that. I mean, I watched Milo's speech. It was like 15 minutes.
By espousing pro-misogynist rhetoric, right?
I don't agree with his views, no.
Which are you not happy with?
I think he's just...
Did he say something that you just don't like?
I can't pick out a quote in particular.
Why do you not like Trump, sir?
Trump.
They can never actually give
We're
you
We're trying to protect people from the rise of Nazis and fascism in the United States.
Oh
and these guys are listening to it.
These people
if
are
they
terrible.
Really believe
they really are.
That
these
Nazis
are the conspiracy theory peddlers.
And fascism
these
were
guys.
Rising in the United States, they would turn the other way and go take down that PA.
I totally
take
agree.
Milo,
if the cops thought there was fascism and Nazis in the U.S., they would turn around and stop it. I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, I'm just wondering who's the guy we're yelling at.
Nazis come off our streets. Nazis come.
Who's the guy? Which is the guy?
Which guy?
The guy that we're.
Okay, I don't know you.
Okay, but just tell me who
I don't
we.
Know you. Don't
off our streets. Nazis.
All right, that's the one way to live.
So I'm sure you find a lot of swastika tattoos.
Have you seen any of the Nazi KKK people today?
Yeah.
Why are they chanting Nazi scum off our streets at you? Are you a Nazi?
No, I'm not.
This is weird. It doesn't make any sense then.
Indian, yeah. Dude, just today they called me a white supremacist.
He's like, no, I'm
every
Indian.
White supremacist in the country supports Donald Trump.
Oh. Every Black Panther supported Obama.
And I would argue that the Black Panthers are way better than the KKK or any white supremacist.
The same thing on the other side. It's just identity politics using violence.
Making the argument that you're Indian doesn't necessarily make you not a Nazi.
How much of his base do you think is the KKK?
A large amount.
The only people who care about him is the left. They're like, oh my God, here's David Duke. Oh my God, here's David Duke. The right doesn't care. Like, he would go unrecognized because no one cares.
Exactly. What about Robert Byrd and the left and the Clintons and Obama connections with Robert Byrd?
Who's Robert Byrd?
Milo Yiannopoulos is a huge liar.
The KKK Grand Wizard Robert Byrd.
Encouraging people to do things like run over protesters with
no,
cars
he's not.
Like was done in Charlotte.
He's not all right,
I haven't watched all of Milo's work.
Yeah.
Okay, like admittedly, but I don't he's think he's ever encouraged
today,
people to use commit vehicular manslaughter.
All right, you pull up his video so people can get the title of it so they can go search this. This is great.
I'm not an expert.
Stop asking me what I don't know. But I know. Berkeley protesters shut down Free Speech Week. Fleckus talks.
Nah.
Check it out. Subscribe to Fleckus. Subscribe to our channel.
So great.
War Room. I think if you go to warroom.show, it brings up all the social media accounts for War Room. And now let's go to Alex in Michigan who wants to talk about Berkeley. You know, Alex, they threw pee-pee on one of our reporters today and broke their car window and stole their camera.
Not very
Those
tolerant.
Sound like tolerant people.
Not very tolerant at all.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I feel pretty bad about that, actually. You know, I wish Millie had more protection out there. If you need any more people hiring, feel free. Also, shout out to Daria on Twitter. I like her tweets. I'm at NinjaAlex420.
Our Russian agent,
bro.
Daria.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, and there's Millie's tweet. Berkeley's a charm. First Amendment violated. Urine thrown on me and car broken into. Only camera and footage stolen.
I guess they stole all of her Nazi paraphernalia because I don't see any in there.
Yeah. I do see the Rainbow Snatch moniker. They left that.
Shh, don't talk
the
about
mic
that.
Flag.
Don't talk about that.
But anyway, I was going to say that I'm pretty sure California is like famous for the covert experiments on the public with the CIA. MKUltra program, other stuff like that we probably don't even know about going on right now with 5G cell phone towers and artificial intelligence doing who knows what, you know?
Sure, I'm sure there's something going on there. These people can't be that organized without assistance because you can look at the people they're talking to, these foot soldiers, they don't know what planet they're on.
No, but you also know, and I've covered these groups a lot. I saw them in Alabama. You can usually tell there'll be like one or two organizers.
Right.
And the organizers, those are the ones that have had some kind of training, whether it be legal training, it's usually a little bit of legal training so they know what they can and can't say,
right,
how to deal with police, that type of thing. And then they're sort of the ones leading the chants, leading the instigating.
Mic check.
Yeah, yeah, mic check. Exactly. Yeah, you've heard it. It's this, and you ever notice, it's no matter where you go in the country, it's the exact same language, the exact same chants, the exact same TTPs. In the military, we'd call it TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're seeing the same type of TTPs employed by various groups at various parts of the country, you got to ask yourself, well, if I can't track these individuals, maybe I can track those techniques,
right,
and drive back from to a single source.
It all goes back to Occupy. That's where they, that was the breeding. That's where they found people who were on the left end of the spectrum that would, I guess, go somewhere and hang out for a while. You know, didn't need a job, didn't need to be somewhere, didn't have kids, whatever. I don't know what these people were doing, but they all went there, and that is where they were able to get them in, and then they go off in their own little corner of the country, mainly on the coasts, because they don't show up. Well, they show up in Austin, but not many other places in Texas.
They're colonizing. They're colonizing other parts of the country.
Exactly. Hey, Alex, anything else you want to add?
Just the legalization of marijuana and all medicinal plants, I think, should be done, because that will not only break up the illegal opium operation we got going on in Afghanistan, but it will break up the Mexican cartels as well.
Well, what's the CIA going to do for money, brother? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, they need those black operations. I forgot.
Yeah, slush funds.
You got it. For the secret experiments on the public, I forgot.
You're an extremist. All right, let's go to Max in Wisconsin. We have about a minute left, Max, before we jump to break. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Very good.
Great, great. I was just wondering your guys' opinion, if they ever heard or found out, maybe Jack knows, in Afghanistan about their GMO poppy crop.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, which GM, how they get the GMO technology, and who's making their GMO?
Who's making those seeds?
So I remember this investigation when it came out, when people started reporting on this. I remember they weren't necessarily, they weren't able to tie it back to a specific company. But as far as how it's done, I mean, you could bring a seed. All you would need is a couple of seeds to bring it over, and you could get started. Now, and they could bring those over. There's so many pallets of trucks, of information, of information and material that's going over. You could easily get it on any of them. Bag of seeds.
That's all you need. And then you can control a nation. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The War Room. Final segment coming up. Infowars.com/show. We repeat ourselves right after this. So send out that link. Final segment of The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me is Jack Posobiec, and I just tweeted out, we're going to cover how the national anthem is white supremacy.
You guys didn't know this all these years.
I didn't
apparently
know, but we're singing a racist song.
Oh, my
song.
Goodness, guys. We have to put this out because nobody else is putting it out now.
I posted the lyrics in that tweet, and you can read all the racist lyrics there. But who kicked this off? It was a young man on NBC. He was a panelist. And he's got a bone to pick with the national anthem. So let's roll that clip.
Is not randomly attacking these players. He is attacking them because they're kneeling during the national anthem. And the national anthem is not a white supremacist symbol. And the president has become...
Some of the words of the national anthem are white supremacists.
You think the national anthem is racist?
I think this is a country whose history is racist, whose history is steeped in white supremacy, and the anthem reflects that in its very words.
It's also a nation with very important ideals that have worn down those injustices over time.
The words, the very words.
And people have died under that flag for those ideals.
Understood. My father and my grandfather, among those who served.
You can have opinions... you know, about policing and whatnot, but don't disrespect the flag of the United States of America.
So is it disrespect to take a knee and respectfully sit there? I mean, he's not turning his back on the flag. He's not burning it. He's not dragging it through the dirt. What's disrespectful about what he's doing?
We stand. It takes 2 minutes to pay that respect to our
because
anthem,
Obama forced you to.
It was part of the agreement.
Yeah, Obama signed the agreement. He said, yeah, you're going to stand for the flag. We're going to give you some money. Now stand. Do what you're told. Obama was literally acting like the slave owner. There's that tweet. We sent it out. There's four verses to the national anthem.
Okay, I'm now looking which one is the most racist verse?
Don't like black
is
people.
Is there a most racist verse
down
of the stars?
Because now they do use the word freeman, which is probably anathema to all these leftists. They don't like anybody being free.
Oh, because
they like to keep everybody in mind prison.
No, we can't have freedom. So clearly that's racist.
I mean, maybe he didn't say free person. That might be the problem.
Person.
He should have said free person.
Misogynist too.
This is the fourth
which
verse.
Which we're actually breaking through a new ground here.
Right. Thus be it ever when freemen shall stand. Damn it, Freeman. You know, free persons shall stand.
Wait a minute. Some people can't stand because of disabilities.
That's it. Cut everybody's legs off.
This is ableist. I think it's ableist too, by saying they should stand. Come on now.
Now, you were saying Francis Scott Key originally wrote this song or poem originally about the Barbary Pirates.
So
right?
there's another poem that Francis Scott Key wrote prior to Star Spangled Banner because it was before the War of 1812. But it's set to it's like the exact same the exact same lyrics, different lyrics, but same melody, right, same stanzas, same sort of structure. But it was all about the Barbary Pirates. And if you go back and look at the words of that one, you'll actually will find references to the enemy at the time, which has the crescent moon, which has the turbaned head. It basically saying it says that they were made to kneel. Before the might of America. The Marines talk about this when they say the shores of Tripoli, right? That was the Barbary Pirates. We fought the Ottomans. Thomas Jefferson was actually the president that launched the Barbary Pirates. I could say war, but really more of a conflict. We sent our garrisons over to basically stop paying the taxes because it was happening. They would hit our ships.
Right.
We're going way deep down the history hole here. They would hit our ships. Yeah, there you go. Look at that. And it actually said Star-Spangled right there.
Splendor obscured, yeah. The Star-Spangled flag of our nation. So there you go. The racism has been proved. You know, we don't like pirates attacking our ships and cutting the heads off our soldiers and seamen. So, you know, we wrote a song about it. Oh, my God. And we want to defend ourselves. And we want to be free people.
Which is also an interesting point in when you look at America's history with the Middle East. You know, people think it started on 9/11.
Oh yeah, right.
And people who are ignorant of the much, much longer history there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, it started with Iran. Let's talk about Iran. How we replaced the Shah.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, so you're talking about
this
policy of regime change that the U.S. has embarked on. It started around that same time. It was the Middle East, Latin America, South America, essentially. And when I say U.S., this is really more under the auspices of CIA.
Deep state.
And deep state basically going around and saying, well, if we just get this regime in power get rid of that regime,
we control these guys and we put these guys together
then,
and we'll all fight.
Then everything's going to work. And yeah, if we can get these two to fight each other, then the one we want can come up. This is the same stuff that you look at conflicts in the world today. And the stuff that we're talking about, a lot of this has been mostly declassified and is completely in the open now from the 50s, from the 60s, from the 70s. And now we're seeing stuff that's going on in the world today. We're looking at Ukraine, when we look at Syria, when we look at Libya, when we look at Iraq and Afghanistan, and we wonder, gee, it's funny that all this stuff is going on and what could be the real, you know, purposes behind it? Well, no, it couldn't be anything to do with the deep state because of course they don't do that anymore,
no.
Right? No, and you think, you know, and there's this sort of understanding that, oh, well, that was the excesses of the deep state. That was the excesses of CIA in those days. But if you actually look, they've never actually renounced
standard operating procedures. As far as
they never disavowed any of it.
No.
So why should we think that they're not operating under similar ideas today?
Right. Exactly. Now, everyone out there listening to the sound of my voice, we have gone 2 hours and 53 minutes and I've only plugged one time the entire show, which is bad me. So I'm going to plug now And then we're going to play that video of Trump flipping off Robert Kraft because I think it was a flip off.
Allegedly.
I'm just saying what I think. It
hasn't been convicted yet of a flip off.
No, it hasn't been convicted yet
of a flip off. Allegedly.
But we have a lot of big sales at InfoWarsStore.com. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to check out the InfoWars Select Storable Food. We have 50% off with promo code IRMA or promo code READY. It ends tonight. And I think Alex is serious this time. So get in there, get your storable food, whether it be 6 weeks, a year, 6 months, whatever you need, a 2 week supply. We have it all there. 50% off comes in those great totes too that keep it really fresh and easily portable. Also have 50% off the high quality Super Blue toothpaste and mouthwash. It contains colloidal silver and iodine, and you're not going to find that anywhere else. We're the only people to do it. And also Caveman True Paleo Formula. Chocolate or strawberry Caveman formulas are 50% off. We also have 40% off Knockout, 40% off Z-Shield, which helps clear your body of those toxic metals. And Emmerich's Essential Packs are 50% off. And also, if you're going to filter your water, we talked about this last week, the Gay Frogs, 30% off ProPure King water filtration systems. And if you put War Room in as you're checking out, you get a 10% off your entire order. So you can get up to 60% off some of these deals. Right now, go to InfoWarsStore.com. It supports everything we do here. I can't stress that enough. We are not supported by your tax dollars. We're supported by you and your hard-earned money. We try to give you something in return, a lot of information, a lot of news, try to condense it all. And so let's go to this final article here. That looks an awful lot like Trump flipping off an old friend. Trump may have insulted one of his personal friends in the NFL, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. And this is from Rare.us. We posted it on InfoWars.com. And that was the first thing I noticed when he kind of brushed back his hair. Now, he did have a piece of hair kind of sticking out, which is very un-Trump. And I was like, I think maybe he kind of felt that hair back there and was trying to get it back. But, you know, you be the judge. Let's roll that video.
Close to our flag and to our country. So I certainly think the owners should do something about it. There was great solidarity. I watched a little bit. I was not watching the games today. Believe me, I'm doing other things. But
There it is. Yeah.
There was tremendous solidarity for our flag and for our country.
Robert Kraft.
It's like hitting right on the
Yeah, it's right there.
Well, that's okay. Look, he's got to take his... He has to take his ideas and go with what he wants. I think it's very disrespectful to our country. I think it's very, very disrespectful.
Ooh.
I like Bob very much.
Ooh. The hair's still there, too. He hasn't gotten it.
No, he didn't. He missed the hair.
I don't even know.
I want him to do what he wants to do.
I don't know.
A great country.
He's like, he's my friend. You know, I like the guy. He's got to do what he's got to do. But look, Trump, you still got the hair right there. Come on.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do, you gotta do this.
I don't know. I mean, come on. Is that a flip off? Was that a flip off?
In order to be politically correct, you have to do this. Look, guys, get around here. Right here.
Right,
you
got to
go, you just take it all the way back like that. That way, what? Was he giving him the thumb? Nah,
well, in some cultures,
that.
the thumb. Yeah, you can't. No thumb.
There he is, right there, flipping him off. Maybe, I don't know. Allegedly.
The other
finger's kind of crinkled right there.
And that's what's so great about Trump is because even when he allegedly is doing something,
people are gonna freak about this.
And not only that, but it creates the level of, well, did he or didn't he? It's that like strategic denial ability. Maybe he didn't. Maybe it's Covfefe.
I don't know.
That's the with Trump is he, the guy just, he's a living meme.
Yeah.
He's a living
totally
meme.
Is.
He
totally
just
is.
Does stuff and it instantly turns into memes.
Exactly. Now, Jack, where can people find your work? You're voracious on Twitter. Are you on Facebook a lot?
I go on Facebook, not as much as Zuckerberg would want me to, but I am on there under Mr. Zuckerberg, who is 100% human. Jack Posobiec, you true name, Twitter as well, at Jack Posobiec.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show. We made it through 3 hours of the War Room. It's Monday. I didn't even give you guys the date. It's Monday, September 25th, 2017. Thank you for joining us. Check out Jack's Twitter. Check out my Twitter, at Dews News, for all when I feel like tweeting. I probably don't tweet nearly as much as I should. Stay tuned tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day. Roger Stone goes up against the constipated turtle, Adam Schiff. Be sure to check it all out at InfoWars.com/show, InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for watching.
Men, give your body the support it needs with InfoWars Life Prostaguard. It's time to start assisting the body in regulating proper prostate balance. InfoWars Life has set out to bring you formulations that are not only the highest quality out there, but formulas that you can use on a daily basis to give your body the natural herbs and extracts that our experts recommend. The Prostagard formula does just that with its mixture of plant-based nutrients and antioxidants that help give your body total support. It's a hand-selected blend of saw palmetto, lycopene, plant sterols, zinc, vitamin D3, selenium, and copper. Prostagard is something that the men on the InfoWars crew take every day. And from our research, it's something that men should really be adding to their daily regimen in order to keep their body going at optimal levels. Now's the time to start naturally supporting your body. Get Prostagard on your side today, exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.